Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh. Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
Red lights to the round table. We dance when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes to put work in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot. We eat ham and jam and spam a lot. Red lights to the round table. Our shows are more. We're able. So many times we give and rhyme to our quiet dancing able. We're off so bad in Camelot. We sing from the dire Camelot.
I have to push the pram a lot.
Well, on second thought, let's not go to Camelot.
Sam, sorry.
It is a silly place.
What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how'd you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh, how'd you do?
How do you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
Oh, didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would...
Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake. Her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur. That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
Oh, but you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
Oh, but if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh. Come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help! Help! I'm being repressed!
Bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway! Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about! Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
If I were the devil, if I were the prince of darkness, I'd want to engulf the whole world in darkness, and I'd have a third of its real estate and four-fifths of its population, but I wouldn't be happy until I had seized the ripest apple on the tree, thee. So I'd set about however necessary to take over the United States. I'd subvert the churches first. I'd begin with a campaign of whispers. With the wisdom of a serpent, I would whisper to you as I whispered to Eve. Do as you please. To the young, I would whisper that the Bible is a myth. I would convince them that man created God instead of the other way around. I would confide that what's bad is good and what's good is square. and the old I would teach to pray after me, our Father, which art in Washington. And then I'd get organized. I'd educate authors in how to make lurid literature exciting so that anything else would appear dull and uninteresting. I'd threaten TV with dirtier movies and vice versa. I'd peddle narcotics to whom I could. I'd sell alcohol to ladies and gentlemen of distinction. I'd tranquilize the rest with pills. If I were the devil, I'd soon have families at war with themselves, churches at war with themselves, and nations at war with themselves until each in its turn was consumed. And with promises of higher ratings, I'd have mesmerizing media fanning the flames. If I were the devil, I would encourage schools to refine young intellects, but neglect to discipline emotions. Just let those run wild. Until before you knew it, you'd have to have drug-sniffing dogs and metal detectors at every schoolhouse door. Within a decade, I'd have prisons overflowing. I'd have judges promoting pornography. Soon I could evict God from the courthouse, then from the schoolhouse, and then from the houses of Congress. And in his own churches, I would substitute psychology for religion and deify science. I would lure priests and pastors into misusing boys and girls and church money. If I were the devil, I'd make the symbol of Easter an egg and the symbol of Christmas a bottle. If I were the devil, I'd take from those who have and give to those who wanted until I had killed the incentive of the ambitious. And what'll you bet? I couldn't get whole states to promote gambling as the way to get rich. I would caution against extremes in hard work, in patriotism, in moral conduct. I would convince the young that marriage is old-fashioned, that swinging is more fun, that what you see on TV is the way to be. And thus I could undress you in public, and I could lure you into bed with diseases for which there is no cure. In other words, if I were the devil, I'd just keep right on doing what he's doing. Paul Harvey.
There's something happening here, but what it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children, watch that sound. Everybody look what's going down. There's battle lines being drawn. Nobody's right if everybody's wrong. Young people speak in their minds are getting so much resistance from behind. I think it's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. What a field day for the heat. A thousand people in the street singing songs and carrying signs. Mostly say hooray for our side. It's time we stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going down. Your life, it will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take you away. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop now. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going. We better stop.
everybody. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazizradio.com. If you want to join in on the chat, jump over there to the superchat.html. If you want to join in on the conversation, add me on Skype as a user. That's user Shaziz, S-H-A-Z-I-Z-Z. Anyway, I'm going to play a little video just to get this thing started here. And I'm just going to play it live. It's just a short 5-minute video, but I'm just going to play it here. See if I don't get a commercial on it.
I know not with what weapons World War III will be fought, but World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. Those are the words of Albert Einstein on World War III, basically meaning World War III could potentially wipe out the human race. But if it was going to happen, what or who would start it? Well, here's five potential scenarios that people believe will kickstart the Third World War. Terrorist group. Terrorism seems the most likely cause for World War III, and very nearly has been. All it will take is for a terrorist group to get their hands on a nuclear weapon, which they will most likely target a major city of USA, UK, France, or Israel. The victim country will discover the terrorist group and the country supporting the group, and will declare a total war against the country and terrorist group involved. If the terrorist group does happen to be of Muslim religion, then many conclude people will take it as a war against Islam, or the country that is funding the group. It's similar to the 1930s Spanish Civil War. The Italians and the Germans supported the rebels financially during the battle, and this current ISIS dilemma certainly has the potential to start a global war. They are causing complete mayhem and are not showing any signs of stopping. ISIS are of course being funded by someone, but it's not entirely sure who by. But the fact that America are already questioning a missile attack could mean we are heading in the right direction for a war. North and South Korea. We all knew this would be in here, and for good reason. The North and the South are not very simpatical, and haven't been for some time. There was a scare not that long ago that had the potential to start a war, when North Korea nearly issued a full-blown war on the South. And although we haven't been bombarded by the news like we were, this is still a serious ongoing battle that only takes one ruthless act to trigger an enormous war. You see, if the North bomb the South, then America will get involved as they back South Korea. Then Russia may attack America, and it will all kick off. If that's not scary enough, North Korea is fully equipped with nuclear weapons which could cause complete destruction in one command. A complete accident. A misunderstanding or accident could start World War III, and although this sounds silly, we have come close to this many times. In the 1950s, a flock of Canadian geese activated the distant early warning line radar system. The birds were mistakenly interpreted as a Soviet bomber attack, and could have led to a missile attack on the Soviet. Again, in 1979, an operator's mistake resulted in the transmission of a message that the US was under nuclear attack. When the information was sent to NORAD fighter bases, 10 fighters were immediately scrambled from 3 different bases in the US and Canada. The following year, a malfunctioning chip in a mini-computer caused a similar situation. However, this time 100 B-52 bombers were prepared for takeoff, along with the president's emergency aircraft. And the most recent? Well, this happened on January 1995. A 4-stage Norwegian-US joint research rocket was launched with the intentions of gathering information about the Northern Lights. In the middle of the night, Russian President Boris Yeltsin was awoken and told that the US had launched a nuclear missile towards Russia, and that he had a mere minute to decide whether to launch Russia's own nukes against the US. Luckily, the missile headed out to sea, and President Yeltsin did not persist, but could well have begun a nuclear war. Would we all be here right now if he had commanded the missile attack? That is a scary thought. A shortage of resources. It's a certainty that we will one day run out of oil, petrol, and even land. And when this does happen, it will have an enormous impact on the world's financial and industrial sectors, and has the potential to cause major disruption. One country may invade another for their resources, thus leading to a war. Although countries are working hard to find substitutes for when this does happen, there is one shortage which is most likely, alongside oil, to create a war. Water. The high demands of water have taken their toll, and although it's mostly the Middle East and Africa that currently suffer from such shortage, a combination of overpopulation, increased demand, and river and ocean pollution mean that getting access to clean water might only become more difficult in the future, with the potential to trigger local and global conflicts.
Maybe that's it. Is that five? Number one.
Russia versus Ukraine. The Russia and Ukraine conflict began when Russia invaded Ukraine following the February 2014 UK Revolution. Since then, Russian soldiers and Ukrainian soldiers have been engaged in firefights in eastern Ukraine. Could this conflict ultimately lead us down the road to World War III? The exact cause of the conflict is argued on both sides. The Western world is blaming Russia's aggression for the mess in Ukraine. Russia are saying that the West is funding the violent groups in Ukraine, and that the Ukrainian government is made up of terrorists that are attempting to oppress millions of ethnic Russians in eastern Ukraine. But here is the most likely cause for a war. It's the fact that Ukrainian units have captured Russian paratroopers, meaning that Russia is now conducting a stealth invasion of Ukraine. Although Vladimir Putin is denying any such invasion, but if he did publicly admit it, that would put Barack Obama into a position of either having to do something about the Russian invasion or look weak in the eyes of the public. And as the Russians have already shown, they are more than willing to match any move that the Obama administration makes. All it takes is for Vladimir Putin to either release his military plans or for him to launch a devastating attack on Ukraine to force America into battle. So that's five potential causes for World War III. What are your predictions? How do you think it will all kick off, or whether it will at all? Thanks for watching, and see you in the next video.
Okay, that was pretty exciting. Potential starts of World War III. And if you go over there to YouTube and you Google it up, is World War III going to happen? You get all kinds of different headlines between... you know, it not happening, or it happening in 2019, or supposed predictions by other people that said it was going to happen, or five Nostradamus predictions, and it's, this one here's got one of them thumbnails that I think's like a clickbait thumbnail where it's got old Trump laying there, it looks like somebody shot him and stuff, and oh man, folks. Common sense has got to take hold sometime in this world, because first off, World War III would be the stupidest and the last mistake that humanity ever made. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. You know, Einstein said that World War IV would be fought with sticks and stones. I strongly disagree. There wouldn't be no World War IV. There wouldn't be nobody around to fight with. We got a lot of issues out there that people like to kind of discount, such as the fact that there's tons of nuclear weapons around the world, and all the superpowers have. And if those things ever were to start launching, there's nuclear power plants everywhere. The damage to infrastructure would be ridiculous. And the bombs compared to, let's say, Hiroshima and Nagasaki, those were firecrackers compared to modern day weapons. And they did a lot of damage. Now, the reason I brought this subject up is because there's a whole lot of fear-mongering going on. And it's been going on. It's been going on since way back, as far as you can think, as far as the news. Back during the Cold War, you know, the communists were coming to take over, whatever. There was always something that kept everybody on the edge of their seat, worried about, you know, Russia's going to attack us, or China's going to attack us, or we're going to attack somebody else, or whatever. Here we just heard in the news about a missile strike on a Syrian airport in supposed retaliation for a poisonous gas attack on civilians. Now, I'm just skeptical about everything. And rightly so, because you don't know who you can actually trust these days as far as who's delivering the message. The alternative media, where they have a really good opportunity to, you know, point out truth and keep everybody, you know, informed, truthfully informed, has a bad side of it, which basically goes really deep into the fear-mongering portion. The things that are going on with Fukushima have people so so upset and riled up thinking the entire world is dying and the oceans are dying and we're all going to die, there's potential disaster there of epic proportions. You know, if it's as bad as what they said it was, and you know, we got serious issues. The oceans, BP pouring corrects it down in the oceans, that's not a good thing. Scientifically, they say that that stuff was supposedly to disperse oil to make it small enough for microbes to eat it, eat up the oil, and you know, other things have come to light. Tar balls on the side of the water or whatever, on the side of the shore. You know, fish and ducks wrapped up in nasty crude oil or whatever. Just trying to get a grasp on all this is nearly impossible. You know, when I see a thumbnail on a video where there's a nuclear missile done went off and a big giant mushroom cloud in the background, it strikes a little bit of fear in my heart. And thumbnails like one where this person standing by a doggone fence, and you can see they're just completely engulfed in flames, and you know, war is hell. That's what they say, and it's the truth. War is hell. I don't think that the global elite of the world really want to start World War III. Made, you know, just my opinion. Let me read out a comment. I posted in there, Knights of the Round Table live World War III or more fear-mongering. World War III question mark or more fear-mongering. Stephen Gibbons in the chat room says, more fear-mongering in my opinion. They are so close to world domination they can taste it. The only way I see World War III kicking off if the Vatican royal family and bankers were losing control and they would kick it out of spite like a child. If they can't have it, no one can. That's pretty much sounds like mutual assured destruction that they adopted some time back to ensure that if we can't have it, then they're not going to get it either. And I responded in there to Stephen. I said, I think you are right. They have too much to lose, in my opinion. It would be a very stupid mistake. But nonetheless, out there in the alternative media, and even in the mainstream media for some portions of the deal, there's a lot of talk about World War III and what Russia's going to do in response to what Trump did over there in Syria. And they say they spent 58 or 59 Tomahawk cruise missiles, which, from what I understand, cost about $1 million apiece. So it's like $59 million shot over into an airbase. Some say it did very little damage, and some said it did a lot of damage. Some said it was just a shot over the bow as a warning sign. Don't use chemical weapons on your people, or we're going to come and get you, kind of thing. For whatever purpose, it was $59 million in a flash, pretty much. I suppose it took a few minutes to launch all those, but might as well say it was in a flash. Anyway, looking down through all the different headlines, the future of Europe, migrant crisis, World War III, Donald Trump, we just listened to the five most likely causes of World War III, and here's one that says, World War III is not going to happen, it is all false. I would play that, but haven't listened to it yet, and so I don't know if it's going to drop some foul language, and I'm not going to do that. So, anyway, there's some that say World War III isn't going to happen, or is it? Lots of headlines. Lots of really scary-looking scary-looking thumbnails. Clickbait. There's one of the White House blowing up. There's one of a big giant mushroom cloud over the city. It says 10 safest countries if World War III breaks out. And 15 times World War III nearly started. Supposedly 15 times before we almost went to World War III. Oh, I tell you what, folks. Let's just hope that nothing ever does come down like that. There's one that has a video that says proof that World War III will happen. World War III is going to happen. World War III is going to happen. Another video. It just keeps going on and on and on. I think there's a big market out there in this world for fear. I think that if you can keep somebody on edge, they're always going to want to come back and watch. It's like watching a mini series to see what's going to happen next. Or, you know, look at the whole doomsday prepper community going out and buying everything and building bunkers. And there's even rich people out there buying up old missile silos and building doomsday bunkers. It's crazy. Well, maybe it will happen. Maybe it won't. Most likely it shouldn't, but who knows? We got to figure out a way to make sure that it don't. You know, talk to the right folks. Make sure that the so-called representation of the world know that we don't want World War III. You know, if you think about it, if it ever really seriously came down to it and it was an all-out nuclear conflict, and you think about the infrastructure of each and every city out there, it would be one heck of a mess. Most of the kids that are graduating from school right now don't even know how to read, write, and do math. So those would be like, if they were to survive, those would be like the future tribes running around on the planet. If Einstein was right and World War IV would be fought with sticks, those would be the fighters. And as far as rebuilding society, it'd take them maybe never to never. It might end up being like that video Idiocracy. Might be that bad, where everybody on the planet is just stupid. But as a scientist, scientifically looking at, there is a very, very large wild turkey standing right in my backyard. Cool. And there's two females and there's a male. He's out there showing his stuff. That's pretty neat, man. Wish I had a camera to show you guys. So anyway, dang, that turkey made me lose my, I'm going to take a picture of him with my phone. This is terrible for live radio. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Mm-hmm. All right, give me a moment, folks. All right. I just took a picture of a wild head out in our backyard. Alright, so, that's terrible for radio. Anyway, that turkey, he's out there, he's got his feathers all up, he's showing the other turkeys that he's the man. That's pretty much what's going on out there in the government right now. All these turkeys out there got their feathers all sticking out and ruffled, and they're basically bucking up to each other and showing their power, you know. Meanwhile, the average Joe is trying to mind their own affairs and go to work and do the things that they always do, while the elite of the world are out there banging the war drums and doing a bunch of ridiculousness. Let's analyze what exactly would happen once the first thermal nuclear device was to hit its target. Well, if Hiroshima and Nagasaki were any kind of implications of what would happen, those were pretty devastating attacks. There was a lot of really horrific things that happened at Ground Zero. People were actually burnt right to a wall, you know. They'd be standing there and the next minute they're just atomized and pasted to the wall. There's a museum out there. Stephen said, as long as the wild turkey and not one of the jive turkeys. Yeah, that's... he might be a jive turkey, but he's still out there. He's trying to get him a girlfriend. He's got his tail feathers all up. That's pretty neat that you can actually see that doggone thing. Yeah, he's out there trying to get him a date. Let's see if I can get another picture. Let's see if I can zoom in better. Break it up, jive turkey. Alright, so I don't know where all the other Knights of the Round Table, because I'd really like to have their input on this thing. Anyway, the damage that was done during the bombing attacks on Hiroshima and Nagasaki were pretty nasty, pretty convincing that you don't want to go to nuclear war. The modern day 10 and 20 megaton nuclear warheads would be so incredibly devastating to an infrastructure, it would be ridiculous. If you think about all the fear that's on Fukushima and was around Chernobyl and Three Mile Island and all that, then imagine if all the different nuclear power plants were in the line of sight of these nuclear weapons. Now you got one heck of a mess going on. Not only would you be shutting down the power grid for all the nuclear power plants, but you would also be, basically releasing radioactive materials, spreading them out all over the ground, which in turn would cause a lot more problems. You would have problems with, if the power was down, you wouldn't be able to pump fresh water to homes and stuff like that, and it'd be one heck of a mess. Play this for them if they start to act like jive. Oh, okay. Oh, there it is. Play this for them if they start to boogaloo. They are jive turkeys. Well, let me see.
So why didn't you ask me, baby? Or didn't you think I could? But I know that the boogaloo is out of sight. But the singer makes a thing tonight. But it's got to do with me, I got baby.
And it looks like that turkey's after boogalooing.
Do it right.
Oh, Stephen, I wish you were here. It's funny. Shake it up, baby. looks like them turkeys are out there dancing there, Stephen. Alright, that was a pretty good call there, Stephen. Wish you would have had a video camera to get that. As soon as I started playing that, that male turkey started bouncing around like he was dancing. Oh, that's funny. That is just too funny. So I guess they really were jive turkeys after all. He's got jive turkeys dancing in his head. So anyway, there's a bunch of jive turkeys out there running the government today, and there's a bunch of jive turkeys running the banking systems, and they're trying to make money and all that kind of stuff. So I kind of really agree with Stephen that these guys and gals pretty much believe that they got so close to world domination via the financial situation and everything that they probably don't want to start World War III. And who knows, man? Maybe even if it was an accident, you know, it wouldn't be a good thing. It wouldn't be a good thing at all, because I stood at Hiroshima and Nagasaki. They got a couple museums out there where they show some of the aftermath of what happened. And there's like big steel pieces of bridges that are twisted up like they were butter. You know, the heat got so intense that it just kind of twisted it, you know, all up. And then there's a wall, like I said, where people were standing on the sidewalk and instantly were incinerated to the wall. Looks like a shadow's on the wall. And it was terrible. You know, to think about that happening to anybody. You know, I sat there, I've had some nightmares in my lifetime where I'm thinking of my hometown down there. You know, I'm thinking of looking over the horizon and seeing the city that's nearby me, big mushroom cloud over the top of it. I've seen a lot of them videos way back when. I can't remember the name of the one most popular one where they showed that there was nuclear bombs going off. Everybody's looking up in the sky and they see these streaks coming through the clouds, and those were atomic bombs heading, you know, out to other countries while other ones were heading into ours. I guess it was depicted as if we got in conflict with the Soviet Union at the time. Can't remember what the name of that doggone movie was, but it left a lasting impression in a lot of people's minds. Made them fearful of nuclear war. And the governments and people in business and, you know, secret agencies and societies, they know how to basically manipulate people's thoughts by, you know, getting them fear or getting them excited about things. And so, there's a lot of control factor that has to do with a lot of the different fear-mongering that goes on to do with any of these potentialities or whatever. Is that even a word, potentialities? Any of these potential occurrences. You know, we get on the radio show all the time and we talk about peace and love and trying to make the world a better place, and we talk about you know, empowering the individual to believe in themselves enough to go out and do something positive in the world. And in my Bad Science show, I'm also trying to show people a different method of all, you know, using energy so that we could still have the comforts of life and make those around the world who, you know, don't have the luxuries that we got, being able to have access to that kind of technology. And so we're out here trying to do something good. We're out here trying to make a positive influence on the world. And as far as I'm concerned, it would be a shame to not be able to finish that goal. You know, humanity, for some reason, just never gets it, and we just continue to deteriorate and go down that road to self-destruction. World War III would not be a good one. And in my honest opinion, there wouldn't be no World War IV. You know, Einstein said that it would be fought with sticks and stones. No, I don't think so. I don't think that even if you were underground, you'd even have a snowball's chance in heck to survive such an episode. You know, they run all kinds of scenarios all the time. They even got bunkers and in the side of mountains and stuff like that. And they run all kinds of scenarios to see the possibilities of what would happen in worst case scenario, and whether or not they'd live, or how long you'd have to stay underground in your bunker to survive. But if you look at the reality of the situation, once the infrastructure is devastated, then everything's going to go downhill from there. You know, my doggone camera is messing up over here. Not my camera, but my microphone. Can you guys hear me very well out there? Anyway, once the infrastructure's destroyed, people ain't going to work anymore because there ain't no jobs to be had. People are basically in fear of radioactive fallout. And people are beginning to run low on supplies, even the guys and gals who stocked up for, you know, worst case scenario. Once people get desperate, they do crazy things. They do desperate things. And sometimes the folks that you would believe would be the best folks in the world might turn out to be your worst enemy in the worst case scenario. And it's sad but true. I don't think there's any mama out there that wouldn't contemplate on doing something terrible if she thought that her children were going to starve to death, or that somebody was going to harm her children. I think it's human nature that people want to defend their families and themselves against harm. So, if you're up at the top of the pyramid, so to speak, as far as government and leadership and financial, it doesn't make any sense to destroy everything. And all these people out there telling everybody that, you know, World War III is going to happen, there is a potential out there. I've even talked about it myself. I get freaked out once in a while, and I'll talk about it, and sometimes I get really passionate about it because I don't ever want to see it happen. I don't like death and destruction and all the craziness that comes along with it. I live out in the country, and for the most part, I don't have to see a lot of crazy stuff that goes on in the cities, unless I watch the news. You know, people down there robbing each other or shooting each other. There was just something crazy that just happened just the other day. I can't remember what it was. Nonetheless, oh, now I remember what it was. Somewhere down in Kansas, there was a trailer park down there. I know some folks who live in there. Police were crawling all over the place, according to what we were told. Somebody had walked down the street and was shooting and creating a ruckus and ended up going to jail, apparently. But, like I said, I had family down there in that general area. And that's concerning. It's like right there in your backyard, pretty much. Not in my backyard, because I live quite a ways away. It's a long story. But nonetheless, I don't have a war zone out in my front yard or my backyard. I live out here in the country, and it's fairly peaceful, without the exception of the drama that I find on the news or YouTube or the internet and that kind of stuff. And I found that I had to be very careful, because some of these clickbait thumbnails that they put up there, Hillary Clinton will start World War III with Russia over Syria. That was a one that was set out 5 months ago. Well, Hillary Clinton didn't win the election. Donald Trump did. But Donald Trump sent rockets over there into Syria under the guise of the guy supposedly using sarin gas, I believe, made chemical weapons on his own people. As a warning sign, a shot across the bow. The first thing that I thought about was I was concerned, because I know that Russia was over there, and I didn't want us to get in a fight with Russia, and there could have been potential things that would have went wrong, such as we, you know, accidentally blow up some of the Russian troops or their airplanes and stuff like that, and suddenly, you know, you got a fight with Russia. The average Joe out there doesn't want war with Russia. The average Joe, I believe, in Russia doesn't want war with the United States. I don't think that any of the average Joes in any of the countries want war with anybody. Matter of fact, from what I've witnessed out here, people are so war weary that they're fed up. They're fed up with, you know, the whole police state mentality and the government knows best and, you know, Big Brother spying on them. They're fed up. But if you pay real close attention to what's going on, is that the younger generation is coming up. They don't even care. Seriously, they think it's all hope is lost, and they don't care. They don't want to do nothing about it. They don't even want to know about it. They'd rather have a party, you know? Which is scary, because if they're literally trying to dumb the population down, they're not going to do it in my generation, because we're still smart, you know? We're still able to look through and see through the veil, so to speak. We're paying attention to the man behind the curtain. And the next generation in line are not. They're so wrapped up in video games and texting and Snapchat and all the different social medias, they're not doing it. Let me see here. Play the video above I posted. Okay, hold on, let me see here. Oh. Okay, that message wasn't for me. That was for that's what you should do. Play that video there, Patty, and you can do that dance like the turkey was doing out there. It'd be a real hoot. That'd wake you up. Anyway, like I said, the newest generation out here, they're not ready for World War III. You know, there's a lot of people, a lot of young men that are, or women that are going into the military. You know, they want to serve their country and they want to do what's right. And I'm worried for them. Because if the leadership is any indication of the past leadership, is any indication of the present leadership, then they might find themselves over in places like Iraq and Afghanistan and Bosnia and different places like that. And there are going to be more veterans coming home wounded. You know, these little conflicts all over, they like to pretty much lighten, you know, it's just a little conflict. It's not a war. I disagree, because any time a bullet's coming out of a gun, it's a war. I don't care if it's just in your neighborhood. If somebody starts shooting, it's a war. And so, when there's a war zone out there and people are bombing each other and shooting at each other, and this is going on all over the place, and our soldiers rush in to try to make peace or who knows what, it's a war. And it hasn't broken out into an all-in-all-out thermal nuclear conflict, but nonetheless, people are still dying, and people are still making money, and people are still selling medical supplies and food and ammunition and equipment and who knows what. It's a big, giant money machine anytime there's a war involved. Now, World War III, on the other hand, that's where the money machine stops. Because once those nuclear warheads hit the air and start coming down, ain't no more money being made. Because things just got real. They just got beyond real. Once those things begin to land and infrastructure starts getting tore down, see, that's the thing about a bomb that a lot of folks don't think about. Bombs don't discriminate. They don't care whether you're a child. They don't care whether you're a lady. They don't care whether you're a man. They don't care whether you're black, white, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, Christian. They don't care. Bombs don't care. They will indiscriminately mop anything that's in their path. And so the same thing will apply with the big bad boy bombs, such as the nuclear warheads. They're going to kill the bankers. They're going to kill the senators. They're going to kill the congressmen. They're going to kill the TV folks out there. They're going to kill the civilians. They're going to kill everything in sight. Birds, trees, animals, whatever. If it's in the way, a nuclear bomb isn't going to discriminate. It's not going to pick and choose who it kills. Not by the color of your uniform or the color of your skin or the language you speak or anything like that. War is dirty. Bombs are dirty. No matter how you look at it. So my suggestion would be to never go there. Never take it down there. You know, they got mutual assured destruction is what they adopted years ago. Mutual assured destruction. That means they have no problem. Is Raymond sick or what? Got a crazy message in here. I got to type something in. Okay, he said, are you sick? Anyway, so how in the heck is the average Joe going to be able to do anything to prevent craziness up there in the government? We elect people to do things the right way. We elect them to represent us, to keep us safe, and that kind of stuff. I'm getting a crazy message in the deal there. Anyway, I'm just going to go to music break real quick. We'll be right back.
Shazam the Terrible and the Knights of the Round Table.
Hello, everybody. We're back. You're listening to the Knights of the Round Table at www.shazazradio.com and over there at TCT Radio and maybe somewhere else. I can't remember. We got a bunch of networks out there going on. Anyway, it's not always easy to maintain common sense in a world gone mad. You know, I brought this subject up before about World War III, and but more or less like as a warning, because you know I'm only human and I panic as well as everybody else does. But I'm getting to the point where I have to look out there at the world and I have to see these world headlines, and especially the alternative media, which I'm seriously disappointed in, because there's a seems to be like a crowd of alternative media who are into the fear-mongering portion of life. You know, they want to get the views and the subscribers on their YouTube, so they'll say a lot of things to basically, you know, get controversy going on, or basically keep people in fear. And I found myself for many years actually looking in on these channels to see what they were saying and trying to match them up with what the government was saying and what other people were saying, and you know, trying to get all the pieces of the story together to make my own decision. You know, I've heard all the conspiracies and all the supposed debunking videos and this and that. Haggy Shack Radio, yeah, that's another one. Sorry about that. My love over there to Haggy Shack too. Folks, it's just when we're going into this, I don't know, whatever it is we're going into, new age of enlightenment, to a maybe a stage of higher being as far as humanity going, this alternative media platform that we got, we need to use it responsibly. If there's a danger out there, we need to talk about that danger. We need to present that information in the best manner that we can in order not to basically make it worse than it is or less than it is. It's a balancing act. And there's a lot of individuals out there that kind of they take things to the extreme. They get you so riled up and so scared or nervous. You're always on edge. And I think our governments and our mainstream media is already do a good enough job of that, let alone having us do it to each other. So we need to look at everything with some common sense. And we need to try to figure out a way that we can work through this whole mess, that we can come out on the other side with some sanity intact. World War III would be a bad thing. And for those folks that believe that you know, World War III is survivable, they really hadn't paid attention in science class. You know, if what we've been told about the power of the modern day weaponry, pray to God they never use it. You know, and if you don't believe in God, just cross your fingers and hope like heck they never do. As nonetheless, if it ever comes down to it and the infrastructure that we become so reliant on begins to fail, you know that there's a lot of people out there that don't prepare for such emergencies. They're going to be a problem. And even those who did prepare for such emergency may end up being a problem as well. Trying to get food for your family and medicines that's necessary or whatever. See, we're kind of in the infancy stage as far as building a alternative community alongside the beast that seems to be eating us all alive. There's a lot of us out there who know survival skills and alternative ways to cook and to get electrical power and such. But for every one of us, there's probably 10 or 15 others that don't have that knowledge in their head. And it's up to us to try to show it to as many people as want to see it. Because if all heck did break loose, if we did somehow manage to survive the impending doom that we've been told is on its way, we're going to need some survival skills. We're going to need some common sense to rule the day. I've seen a lot of different miniseries where there was apocalyptics. One of the ones that sticks out most is the Jericho series that, if you look at that, and it has a lot of ironic things that, like for instance, they said that North Korea is who nuked the 26 major cities in the U.S. Well, it turned out that it was a false flag and our own side nuked it. But nonetheless, the same scenario played out as the states broke up into several small countries and had several presidents for different states and different armies and ended up with two major armies fighting each other towards the end of it. It had towns fighting against towns for survival and for supplies and neighbor against neighbor. It was a terrible thing. I never want to see that come to pass in my neighborhood. I don't want to have to worry about, you know, army or roving gangs going up and down the street trying to steal from people or hurt people. It's got to be sometime that humanity gets wise enough to understand it. We can't live like that. It's not beneficial to anybody. I don't want to live in a road warrior style mentality world. I don't want to live in a post-apocalyptic world. So how are we going to avoid that? How are we going to get the message from the bottom of the pyramid to the top of the pyramid and tell them that we don't want these shenanigans going on? And then we'll hold those folks at the top accountable for everything that they do to get us in these situations. Well, the greatest advice that I can give humanity at the bottom of the pyramid is those of you in the east, go that way. Those of you in the south, go that way. In the west, you go that way. And in the north, you go that way. And we take the base of the pyramid right out from under them. And we bring them right down to our level. To where they have to see us eye to eye. And hear what we have to say. That's the only way it's ever going to get to that point. Because all the way up to that stage of the pyramid, they got their army men and their police officers and they got all their private securities and everything like that. So if you want to get a message to them, you could send them an email. They may or may not get it. You could send them a letter. They may or may not respond. Because they're the president or the vice president or the congressman or the senator. You're just the peasant. And they're not willing to talk to you face to face. They're not willing to look you in the eye and say, well, you know, we're going to go to war. And we're going to send your kids over to fight. Nope. They're not going to do that. They're just going to make that decision. Those of us in the middle, well, follow the ones at the bottom of the pyramid outward, and everybody, this is kind of like whenever they let out of a wedding or something like that, you know, they take one row at a time or something. Somebody organize the crowd and send them all off in the opposite direction so that the base of the pyramid goes down. We need to bring the leaders down to our level. Yeah, Steve said, just stay where you are, you'll be fine. I'm sitting here watching visibly in my head a pyramid collapsing. That's what somebody needs to make a video of. How to drop the base of the pyramid. How to lower the capstone to the ground of modern society, the bankers and the doggone ruling class elite. how to bring them down to our level. Because it seems to me that all these shenanigans that's going on is because money and power corrupts, and power corrupts absolutely. I can't remember the exact phrase of that. Well,
power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yeah. There you go. So what I'm trying to say is spreading words of wisdom out there. You know? I don't want people living in fear of an impending doom. I want us to utilize our resources and our common sense to keep an eyeball out, you know, so to speak. Kind of like the Boy Scout mentality. Always be prepared, you know, for anything. It's not always as easy as it sounds. Most generally, it always falls back on financial aspects. Well, you know, I ain't got the money to store food on my shelves. Well, take the cheap route. Go out there and buy some seeds and plant them somewhere. And then you'll have somebody say, well, I don't even have no land to plant them on. Well, plant them in some buckets, some window gardens. Do whatever you can do, whatever resources you do have available, to protect yourself in just such an emergency. At the very least, you got some heat, light, and food. Simple as that. I know it sounds, it doesn't sound as simple as that. Whatever it comes down to, an all-in-all-out, full-out nuclear conflict, I honestly don't believe we're going to have anything to worry about. I believe that we'll find out whether or not there is or isn't a creator that day. Because I believe that they will unleash something so terrible onto this planet that not even those who believe that they got it made down deep down inside the bunkers. You know, I've heard people say, well, you know that these things, they'll be safe down there 20 miles under the earth or whatever, you know, and they think that the elite got it all figured out. The elite don't have it all figured out. They think they do. They may have underground cities all over this planet. They ain't got it figured out. They're going to end up probably being in the worst possible space when the power of those nuclear weapons is unleashed on the planet. They got the best scientists, supposedly. And they should have been able to figure it out. They should have been able to do the mathematics to see, you know, what happens if World War III was to occur and everybody says launch them if you got them. Maybe somebody won't get theirs off the ground. Maybe half the globe will be scorched. Maybe the other half won't. Maybe those that live in third world nations will now be the kings and queens of the world, because they'll be far enough away from the devastation.
Amen. The meat shall inherit the earth.
Yep. Steven typed in, clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right, here I am, stuck in the middle with you. That was the song. Oh, man. Raymond?
Yeah?
This Knights of the Round Table show I've been doing for a long time, and I've always tried to put out common sense, and I tried to make sense of the madness that's going on in the world and give people hope. And so I think this show's important because people are out there right now in the mainstream media and the alternative media talking about we're like on the verge of World War III because of this latest action that Trump's took in Syria to supposedly go against Assad for using chemical weapons on himself, or on his own people. Now, I don't know whether the man did or didn't. Honestly don't. All I know is what I've been told, but I also know that I have to be skeptical of what I've been told, because it's like we've been lied to before.
Amen on that one.
Yeah, so if Saddam didn't have weapons of mass destruction, or maybe he did have them, maybe he was warned ahead of time and got them out of the neighborhood, I don't know. All I know is what the mainstream media and the governments of the world had told we the people in order to justify putting our men and women in harm's way overseas. And there's a saying, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Remember that?
Yes, I do. I really do. That's why I don't listen to the damn cool news.
Well, I gotta listen to the news, because otherwise I don't know what they're lying about.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Either reads the newspaper. I'm sorry. Either does not read the newspaper, uninformed. He who reads the newspaper is misinformed. Wait a minute. Duh. Think about that. I'd rather be uninformed than misinformed. Well, misinformed means that I'm gonna hate this person or hate that person. Or like that one and dislike that one, and I don't care. I just want to live my life and do the best I can. That's all there is to it.
Well, that puts me in a predicament, because
yeah, I understand.
My method of dealing with the world is to try to look at all the things that are going on and try to sort through it with some common sense to find some sort of peaceful resolution. And
you know,
if I don't know what they're lying about, if I don't know what's being said on all sides of the story, I don't know that there's any problem going on out there in the world. But if there is what they said that's going on, then we got to get things resolved, because I got grandchildren, you know, and I got family that I care about. I got friends around the world that I care about. And so I kind of find myself in the middle of this battlefield trying to look around and see what's up and assess the situation, and can't we all just get along kind of thing. Peace, hope, and love, and don't panic. We'll fix this. We'll get things... I'm trying to hold at bay the apocalypse, man. In my mind, that's my justification for continuing to do these radio shows. In my heart, that's the same reason why I do what it is that I do. And I don't know if I'm being psychologically mind-tripped or whatever you want to call it. I don't know if the words coming out of my mouth are even making it to the intended ears of the people out there in the world, the average Joe that could actually do anything about it. For all I know, this could be a whole entire psychological operation just to see how far that they can drive old Shaziz to insanity. I don't want no World War III. I don't want no Doomsday or Planet X or any of the crazy stuff going on out there. But I've went so deep into the rabbit hole of life and the internet that I see all the things. I've seen things that no man or woman should ever have to see. And I'm disturbed by it. Disturbed enough to think that maybe, just maybe, my words could potentially steer that in a different direction by trying to speak some peace, love, and common sense to the world. That's why I do what I do, Raymond.
I know. I know exactly what you're talking about. Thing is, I don't listen to these doomsday scenario hypocrites. I mean, they're trying to get everybody scared. You know, I mean, the radiation in the Pacific Ocean is doing this. What's it doing? I mean, a good lightning bolt will take care of that.
Well, I don't want to get blindsided by something crazy.
Right, I understand. At the same time, I don't want to listen to somebody hollering, the sky is falling, the sky is falling.
Yeah.
I mean,
remember,
come on, man.
You remember the year 2000 when year 2000 was getting ready to come around? People were panicking because they were told the computers. Yeah, they were panicking because they told the computers were going to crash because of a digital deal going on inside there.
Hey, look, a computer is like a stick lying on the ground. It can't do anything until you pick it up. Now, you can pick it up and swap the heck out of your neighbor, or you can pick it up and break it little pieces and build a fire with it. And you can cook your food. A computer is a computer. And that's what really, really got me. When everybody was so scared in 1999, whoa, the month, November, oh, the world's going to come apart at the seam, and everybody's going to die, and we're not going to have any fresh water, and this, that, and another, because all the water systems are controlled by computers, and the Y2K can't go that way, and what's going to happen? And I said, well, wait a minute. So I bought me a couple of computers in the yard sale for $5 or $6, brought them home, and advanced the date to December 31st, 10 p.m. And then I sat there and watched them for 2 hours. And guess what? 2 hours and 1 minute, the sucker rolled over.
Yep. Well, I wasn't worried about the computers. My thing was more like, because guys like Alex Jones out there, you know, for whatever people think about him, he's out there, he's stirring up the pot, and I don't know whether he's some sort of disinformant or whether he's for real or whatever. Maybe he honestly believes everything he says, but I don't know. It's neither here nor there. I didn't hear about Alex Jones until 1998. It was back during the Clinton impeachment trials. And I started looking into what was going on because I thought old Clinton was a good president. You know, I didn't know any of the conspiracies or anything like that. But the more I got to digging and getting deeper into the deal, I started hearing about some things that were going on back in Arkansas that weren't really on the up and up, and how people end up disappearing. And I got to looking a little bit harder at all these different politicians and paying attention to what they were saying and what they were doing. And I started noticing that there was some corruption, you know, in the doggone government. And so, you know, I kept on looking and I watched the local governments and I actually paid attention to, you know, just the average Joe, what they were saying. And I started trying to put all this together in my head. And they were telling me that there was this New World Order out there, this secret group called the Illuminati and the Freemasons and all that. And so I started looking into that. I looked into it deeper and deeper, and I found myself going so far down a rabbit hole that I become extremely paranoid, literally. I was physically dressed for combat. And to this day, I still am, because I don't know. You know, every day is a war in my mind. And I'm sitting here trying to avert the war. So, if anybody wanted to take an example of what mind control or propaganda or, you know, fear mongering could, like, lead you to, take a good long look at me, personally. Come spend a day with me in my personal life and look how I live and how I am around people. I went over the edge, literally, because I was so afraid that the apocalypse was right around the corner, and I was so afraid that my family was going to be in danger that I went into full combat mode. And that's no joke. I was ready for it. And the more that people kept telling me, the longer that years went by and the apocalypse never showed up, the more I started wondering, what's going on here? The doomsday date keeps getting moved. It's like running a race, you know, and somebody keeps moving the finish line on you. You see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do.
And so I started looking at things a little bit differently. I started questioning the alternative media, as well as the mainstream media, as well as the government. I question everything, and I try to match it with whatever motivation that they have for saying or doing whatever it is, and trying to find those who really seriously want to get to the truth. You know, when you mentioned earlier about the radiation that, like, say, Fukushima out there. All right, well, there's some serious issues going on out there. But I want to make sure that we don't jump the gun in saying that it's a complete and utter apocalyptic deal. I want to make a scientific look at this thing and see, you know, which uranium numbers are like... Some of them will be gone in 8 days. Some of them will be gone in 30 days. Some of them will be gone in 30 years. And some of them have a half-life or whatever. There's charts out there that will tell you different things that are going on in the nuclear reality and the half-lives of all this stuff. And so you got to prioritize and figure out where that danger is so that you know how to get in there and resolve that situation as a science guy. Right?
Right.
And as far as the oceans, you know, and fish dying off and all that, I got to not just say that this one particular problem is the only problem, because I also know that there was a big, huge oil spill where they were pumping in Corexit at the same time. So these two symptoms could be agitating each other and causing a lot of devastation out there in the ocean. And if the ocean does die, then yeah, the food chain collapses. But I'm not at the panic stage to that yet, you know, because I've been staying back all this time and watching all the things unfold and asking the right questions and listening to all sides of the story. And if it doesn't match up logically or common sense wise or scientifically, I won't hesitate to step in here and say, well, don't panic on this part right here. This is over here, this is a mess. But this part over here, we can work with this. You see what I'm saying? There's a resolution. We can solve this problem if we come together and we do it like this. But if we lose control, this Chicken Little runs out and says, the sky is falling, and everybody panics and rushes off and gets hurt, we end up with a situation like the boy who cried wolf. So many times apocalypse has showed up, but then the date got moved down further. Oh, we miscalculated. Planet X ain't getting here for another couple years. You're good to go for another couple years. Get your bunkers and all your generating and food supplies and so on.
And set them up wholesale.
Yeah.
It's all about money. So that's all Y2K was about. The only thing Y2K was about is people starting a rumor so they could make money. That's it.
Yeah.
You have the billions and billions of dollars people spent protecting themselves against the Y2K failure, which it never happened.
Well, it's like this. I don't like injustice in any way. So I don't like anybody being able to take and manipulate people and steal their money. That's why I'm so apprehensive about taking any kind of donations from anybody for my science projects. Is because I've seen so much of it in the past that people have done people wrong and didn't fulfill their obligation or their promise of somebody. Patty says in the chat room, she says, I'm thankful for all those who have stepped up no matter what expression they use to wake the people. Everyone will gravitate to what they feel is useful information. In the beginning, we were all running on insufficient data. Now we have information flood. I am thankful for all the voices that have gotten us to the point in time, to this point in time, where we have the ability to find solutions. Some people can only be motivated by fear. Others can be motivated by solutions.
There you go.
That's brilliant.
No joke.
And Stephen said, let the flood wash over you. It does wonders for your hair. Just look at Shaziz. Oh, man, I love that guy. I love all these people, man. Patty said, laugh out loud reminds me of Einstein. That's what I tell people, man. If you're going to be a mad scientist, you got to have the hair to prove it.
Right.
So anyway, this mad science guy is looking out there at the world, and I'm trying to make sense of it all, and I'm trying to bring common sense to the table, because I don't want people getting ripped off by fear mongers, and I don't want people living in fear unnecessarily. Now, if there's an episode out there where I feel so wholeheartedly that we have a serious danger in play, I'm going to try to put that message out in the most responsible manner, saying, look, this is what I figured out. This is how much time I believe that this is going to happen. And, you know, look at everything and make a wise decision to, you know, maybe store up some extra things or whatever just in case. You know, that way you can buy yourself some time, worst case scenario. That's a common sense way. I don't think that's too much fear-mongering, do you?
No. I'm going to tell you something. Honestly, the most disgusting thing I've ever done in my life that I am disgusted at me is wasting my time looking to a fear monger. I mean, all they want to do is start up trouble so they can sell you something.
Yep. And what? There's some guys out there that's got like 100,000 subscribers that are sitting there telling just flat out lies, scientific lies that people are eating up, because when you say the word radiation, that's a powerful word, man. People, oh no, not that terrible boogeyman radiation, but they're not putting out the true facts. And even in some of their doggone demonstrations that they're showing maps that have nothing to do with radiation, but they're trying to make it look like, oh, look, this big blotch of red is the whole planet getting fried or whatever. And I'm looking at this and I'm saying, look, you guys gotta stop. You're scaring the crud out of people for things that you're not even scientifically standing on solid ground.
No, they're not. No, the thing is, they are getting a lot of subscribers and they're making money. Oh, whoa, that's all they care about. They don't care about the people. If they did, they wouldn't preach fear and hatred and disgust and failure and doomsday this and doomsday that. Bull crap. Well, all they're interested in is making money.
Barry said in the chat room that I need to be a politician. Maybe, you know, I would seriously like to go stand before a Senate and Congress. You know, I don't think I'd ever be a very good president because I'd probably be crazy.
But if you even attempted to become a politician, you would fail.
Oh, I'm sure I would. I would.
I know. No, I meant that in a good way. You would fail. Why? Because you're too damn honest to be a politician.
Well,
too direct.
I'd like to be.
You need to be a politician.
I'd like to be a voice of common sense and advocate to the people, you know, to be able to stand up there and talk to these representatives if they would allow me the time, because, you know, they're like royalty. They don't want guys like me taking up their precious time, even though they're supposedly working for me.
You fail because you would tell the truth, well, and they don't hear the dang truth.
That's why I do this radio show. Because I get the opportunity to talk to the average Joe. And if they believe in what I'm saying, they'll share the content with somebody else. What I'm trying to do is tell the world out there, look, I know we got problems. We really seriously do, because we got crazy. We got jive turkeys running the government. We got jive turkeys running the banks and the financial institutions. We got jive turkeys out there protesting the Save the Trees with a wooden stick and a paper sign.
Right.
There's got to be some common sense involved in this whole deal. Look, if I was really seriously a king, you know, I call myself King Shaziz the Terrible. If I was really seriously a king and I was about to take my people into battle, I'd be in the front. If I honestly believed in the cause so much that I was willing to risk their life, I would put mine in the front, because that's what a king should do. You know? Yep. But if you see me as the king hiding in the back and trying to send you in there, maybe you might not want to go. You see what I mean?
I know. I see exactly what you mean. And I've said it several times on the same show. A true leader is nothing more than a really good servant.
Well, and that's what I believe. I believe that we are our brother's keepers. We are servants to one another. We're servants to nature and life and, you know, all the animals. And, you know, that's the kind of message I try to put out here. And that's why I brought this to the table here for the Knights of the Round Table. World War III or more fear-mongering, you know. We just heard that there was a bombing that went on over there in Syria that we sent 58 Tomahawk nuclear, not nuclear, thank God. We sent 58 Tomahawk cruise missiles over there and smashed up somebody's runway at the airport or whatever. Did some damage. Well, anybody knows anything about military stuff knows that military stuff ain't cheap. So what I heard, and from my understanding, that each one of those cost $1 million a piece. So there's $58 to $59 million that just got blowed up over there in somebody else's country. That $58 to $59 million could have put roofs over people's head. It could have put food in a baby's belly somewhere in a third world nation. It could have done something good, you know. But we.
Yeah, but the thing is, they were in stockpile. I mean, a cruise missile. Come on, man. Are you serious? They're outdated. They were outdated 25 years ago.
It doesn't matter.
Somehow.
It doesn't matter. Still, it cost that much, and it was utilized in that fashion. Now, supposedly it was utilized for a good purpose. If this leader was using gas on his own people, then we sent a message over there to say, you know, we're not going to allow you to do that, and I'm saying, I just don't know if it was the right message to be sending to the world, you know? We're trying to bring peace around out here, and if these folks are using gas on their own people, you know, it's against the law internationally and whatever. We can't allow that, obviously. But right now you got Russia on one side, you got us on the other side. Russia's trying to resolve something, and they're trying to, like, to not have this particular individual overthrown. And you step back and you look at the facts. What have all these people got to gain? And then there's some pipeline that comes in there. A gas pipeline into Europe, either owned by Russia, if Russia keeps control, or by the United States, if United States and whatever gets control. So it all falls back to, once again, money.
Exactly.
Otherwise,
that's the thing right there, money.
Otherwise, you back off and allow these people that's been fighting for a couple thousand years to duke it out, and the last man standing, that's the one you deal with. And as long as you keep them contained in their area, fighting amongst each other, you know, I don't know. How do you bring peace to a nation that hasn't known peace for thousands of years? You see what I'm saying?
No, you just came up with the answer right there. You just came up with the answer. Let them continue fighting. I mean, you can't stop people from fighting that's been fighting for thousands and thousands of years. All you can do is just sit back and watch and don't interfere. And when the last man stands, they say, now, what do you have?
Yeah.
What do you got? You got a bunch of dry sand. Now, we could have come over here and we could have interfered and glassed the entire country. But why? Why would we spend that much money turning your country into a piece of glass? No, I'm not going to spend my money doing that. You come to want to fight, fight.
Yep. There's a conversation going on in the chat room that's pretty interesting. Barry's talking about millions starving in Africa and we're killing children. You know, it don't make no sense. And no. Patty says, I think if we could, if we can put the solutions into reality, if we can have the safety net for those who are in place of fear so that they can see another way, that it would create a new path that people could trust and feel empowered to do. And Barry said, not me, the man behind the curtains.
don't pay attention to the guy behind the curtain.
Yeah.
He's not there. He's not really there. Don't look behind the curtain.
Is there any possible way that we can ramp this radio show up to the extent where we are actually out there under the doggone, people driving down the road, I want them to be able to hear what I'm saying in their car. You see what I mean? Like all these radio stations out there, do you realize how much money they have to pay in order to have a license to broadcast and all the regulations they're under and the things they can and can't say?
Well, you got regulations on your show.
Well, my regulations are out of respect for each other. That's it.
I know, and that's exactly where I was going. It's out of respect. I mean, come on, man.
All I'm saying is, somehow or another, to be able to get a message to all the people of the world, you know, it's...
Yep.
The mainstream media has a lot of power, regardless of how many doggone listeners that they're losing daily because of their lies and propaganda. And the alternative media is also in the crosshairs of losing subscribers because of what we've just been talking about.
Right.
The alternative media has a lot of power right now. But they're also at the same risk that the mainstream media is, because, you know, if you tell the mainstream media they're fake news, and then your people on your side is actually producing fake news as well, that turns around back on you, and it makes everybody look bad. You see what I'm saying?
Yes,
and
I do.
For all those that are doing good out here, that are telling the truth, and that are talking common sense, suddenly you're a tinfoil hat wearing nut if you talk about anything. And that's how they delegitimize us. That's how they delegitimize we the people. And then for the youth out there who's so confused about what's going on and don't have no idea what's truth or what's not, what's truth or fiction or reality or not, they're wrapped up in a world that is just away from reality. In video games, where they run around shooting each other, first-person shooter games, and you know, and killing zombies, and you know, it's a world that is safer to be in when you're out there in the cyber world, because you can't get hurt in cyber world. At least you believe that you can't, because it's all game, right? But in reality, it really is hurting you a lot. It's damaging you to the extent that the real world outside of you is going around, and you're not aware that things could be potentially happening that's going to affect your safety and freedom for the rest of your life and your children and your children's lives. So they're sucked into the matrix, so to speak.
You just brought up a really good point, Shazoo. In virtual reality, you cannot get hurt. Duh. Come on, wait a minute. There are 3,000 hospitalized texting and walking accidents every month. That means 100 a day. 100 people a day get hurt texting and walking.
Patty's got a brilliant idea, and I wonder how many people out there listening would assist me in doing this. I'll do it myself. I'll go out and buy a stack of 1,000 papers and print out 1,000 flyers and put them on every laundromat wall and stuff like that. She said, put those flyers out there, give your show and station information, post all over the place. Bumper stickers are not very expensive. That is what Alex Jones started with. How many people out there listening to me would do me that courtesy of helping me get this word out to people by posting flyers and stickers?
Me?
Well, there's at least 3 of us now.
Okay.
So that's a start. I really think that the words that are spoken on this radio show really honestly need to be heard by people. Because we're not out here fear-mongering people. We're not out here trying to hype things up to make everybody believe that we're all doomed. We're trying to put common sense and solutions on the table. See, a lot of people don't know that solutions exist. until we sit there and tell them, look, there it is. In mad science, I point out things that have been in existence for a long time. Patty says people are looking for answers and understanding of what is happening in our world today, why their lives are being changed and what they can do. They are not sure how to find the information. We just have to show them where the information is. That's why I love that lady, man. She's brilliant.
Yes, she is.
Really nice, too. Good heart.
She's not on the show.
Yeah, well, send her a message. See if she wants to join in.
Alright.
So, we brought up a lot of possibilities. I talked to you about... I'll try to add it to the group call if she wants to pick up. We talked about, you know, people out there talking about possibilities, and I read out a bunch of headlines of things that people are saying in the alternative media, in the mainstream media and such. All I can say to everybody out there, look, I pray to my God that there ain't never going to be no World War III. And I hope it doesn't come like a thief in the night on us. I hope that we don't wake up one day and find out we're in the midst of that, because I seen the movies back in the old days. Do you remember that movie that they used to show a long time ago that was depicting World War III, where people were standing out in public and they saw these rockets leaving down in Kansas or something, and you've seen these missiles leaving the silos and heading over to Russia?
Yeah, I remember.
Well, do you remember the name of that movie?
No.
I don't know if it was The Day After or something like that. Sounds familiar, but not sure. But either way, I saw that years and years ago, and that affected me profoundly, because I was like, man, I hope that never happens, because that'd be scary to see those things leaving that silo, because you know that in retaliation they would be coming back in our direction too.
Right.
So, you know, that's proof of what we've been saying all along, that words and actions and things like that are more powerful than you can possibly imagine. And these people out there that are wanting to sell things or wanting to further an agenda, they know that fear is a powerful selling tool. It's a powerful tool for mind control and so on and so forth. So responsibly, we got to seriously weed through the information and get down to the facts of it. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
I mean, in the radiation portion of it, we need to get down to the actual facts. We need to get down to the actual numbers, the actual danger, so that we know where we stand in reality, not in, you know, the fear-mongering portion of it. What is the... Where exactly the danger's at? I'm not sure I'm like getting this out the way I'd like to.
I'm not sure you are either. But I know what you're saying. I mean, you know, the thing is, words. I mean, radiation. Wow. You're talking fear here, fear mongers. It's fear mongers saying radiation, and you're thinking nuclear. Where when you say radiation to me, I'm thinking, duh, I've got lights overhead and they're radiating light. I'm sitting here watching my monitor and it's radiating visible light. I mean, I'm not scared. What are you talking about, radiation? Oh, you're the fear monger. Oh, you're talking nuclear radiation. Oh, okay. Well, science said that, nuclear radiation has a half-life of 5,000 years. Well, wait a minute, that's what they said 50 years ago.
Yeah.
Now they say, oh, wait a minute, well, we were wrong. Lightning has a tendency to neutralize radiation, nuclear radiation, that is, okay?
Yeah.
But lightning gives off light, which is radiating visible light. Oh, come on. I mean,
what?
You can think all you want.
basically,
hypothesize. You can dream up scenarios. If we do this, then that's going to happen. But wait a minute, we did it and it didn't happen. But why? Oh, we didn't take into account this. I'm sorry. We didn't take into account there's going to be rain. Come on, man.
It's like what Patty just said down in the chat room. We need to know what we're up against, but we need the facts of everything. All right, before we take ourselves into panic mode or whatever, we need to understand the facts, because we're going to be the next person to tell the next people in line what the situation is. You see what I mean?
Yes, I do.
And there's an old study done a long time ago where somebody will tell somebody a story, all right? And they'll tell the next person that story, and then they'll tell the next person that story, and by the time that story got to the very end of all the people that were being told the story had changed so dramatically, you know, that if it was a story that started off about something terrible coming, let's say it started off, there was a meteorite that was going to fly by the Earth, and the next thing you know, somebody else told it, and the meteor was now an asteroid, and the next person that got the story, the asteroid was getting ready to skim the Earth's atmosphere, or possibly smash into the moon, and by the time it got down to the next deal, you got somebody who just heard that the sky was falling and we need to bunker in and dig ourselves down into the dirt. And then when you get all down into the dirt and then the rock never comes by, and then the next time there really is a real issue, nobody listens.
Right.
You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you're talking about. I've done that at parties. Somebody takes something on a piece of paper, write a story down. Then you read it word for word to one person. That person, without anything other than what they heard, tells another person. They tell another person, and by the time you get to the 20th person, it has nothing to do with what's on your piece of paper. Yeah. Nothing.
Well, that's the thing. That's why we got to be responsible in the information that we share with everybody. All right, now, I'm hearing that there was a lot of Patty says, I don't think we can discount the severity of Fukushima incident. We are not getting accurate information, which will always lead to unrealistic expectations. That is the problem. No one is stepping up to give us the information, so the layman is left their own devices to interpret what is giving, leading the to misinformation. And I agree with her 100%. When I talk about Fukushima, I'm not trying to make light of it, because I understand that it really is a serious situation. What I'm trying to convey to people, and I don't always get it out the way that I want to say it, because I'm running this through my mind. I look at things in danger levels, so to speak. Like, obviously, standing right dead in the middle of that reactor is the worst possible spot because of the way that the radioactive decay occurs. Alright? Now, I wasn't given enough information to understand that when the hydrogen explosion occurred, did it actually lift any of those pellets up and scatter them all over the land? And if so, how far did they actually travel? And what exact materials, so that I would know the actual lifespan of that material, because some of the cesium molecules will only last for 8 days out in the atmosphere. They'll deplete themselves. They have a weak half-life and so on. But when somebody doesn't understand the full way that a radioactive reactor functions, and they hear these words like cesium-132 or whatever, you know, or iodide, or, you know, any of the really scientific terminology, it sounds bad. It sounds real bad. And it's out there, and it's supposedly in the clouds, it's in the water, and it's everything like that. But as somebody who's paid attention in science all along, I understand that at the core, it's bad. If any of that material got shuffled out, it's bad. But there are zones, so to speak, like the hot spot, the lesser hot spot. If you go back and you look at what happened in Nagasaki and Hiroshima, and a lot of people say, well, that's the first place they go to talk about Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Nonetheless, it was an atomic bomb that used plutonium to split the atom and whatever. And at the ground zero, anybody who was at ground zero was essentially incinerated. Anyone who was 20 miles away, if they had looked anywhere towards that flash, would have been blinded instantaneously by the flash that would have occurred during a nuclear explosion. The basically implosion slash explosion of everything rushing in to fill in that void. And you would have a wind going one direction that would be super powerful. You'd have one coming back the other direction, which would do a lot of damage to buildings and throw glass and metal shards that would hurt people in all different directions. The further you got out away from that actual deal, you could get everything from being in the center to completely incinerated to being partially out to being radiated to being a little further out to being nothing more than a sunburn, all the way out to where you're far enough away that you wasn't even affected with it, with exception of any potential nuclear fallout that would occur. And the material that would have been kicked up in that plume, that would have been dropped down over the top of everybody. Now you got to get into the scientific portion of how radioactive is it? What is the half-life of each of these materials that got rained down on you in the form of fallout and so on? And there's where you start to split hairs as far as the fear-mongering of the whole deal.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I'm trying to say. I'm not trying to, like I say, Fukushima is not a bad thing, because it is. You're pumping radioactive water out there, which essentially is really hot water, into the ocean, which, everybody knows, if you put hot water into cooler water, you get a reaction. It's going to cause some sort of reaction. For every action is an equal and opposite reaction. So you have to factor in, what is this reaction going to cause? Anybody who's owned a fish tank knows that fish are temperature sensitive. It doesn't matter whether they're freshwater fish or saltwater fish. They have to be at a certain temperature. And so if you got a certain fish that suddenly gets flooded with hot water, then it's obvious that that fish isn't going to fare well. It's going to die. And you start breaking down the ecosystem in that section, and you'll notice that it's like a chain reaction. Birds don't get the food they need, and so on down the line. And Patty says, I do agree, Shaz, it is important to understand the properties and differing radiation. Some are heavier than others. Some will have a short life of others longer. Many will be deprived by the wind and water. Others will be absorbed into environment and sit for long periods of time, decades, centuries, etc. This is what is not being told. I agree, Shaz. This is the important aspect, and that's what I'm trying to get to. She said it in less than a paragraph or so, what I was trying to explain with this long diatribe that I went on. But, I want people to understand, where the dangers are. Like, for example, radiation could be attributed to a radio tower. There's a sign that says on a radio tower, don't stand within so many feet of this radio tower because of potential microwave hazards. Microwaves are radiation. But they know that microwaves are short-lived waves, because once they hit the atmosphere, they begin to slow down and it's no longer a microwave. I know that if I stand 100 feet away from a microwave tower, I'm perfectly safe. All right? That's what science has showed me. Now, you got to put that in perspective with every single incident going on out there, including the possibility of World War III. We got to put everything in perspective. Because if we're going to be a source of media for people out there that don't know. We can't just come right out and say, look, the sky is falling, the sky is falling, and lose our credibility before we ever even get them to start looking into all the things, and they can bring us more information that we can then in turn use together. Patty says, I love your diatribe, Shaziz. Makes me think. Well, I just want to try to put it out there in a manner in which that it's respectful and easy enough to understand for the average Joe. You know, if I have the opportunity, I might go out to the oceans and I might take some tests myself so that I can see for myself, so that I can give you first-hand knowledge of what I'm seeing. And you know you're going to get an honest opinion if I tell you about it. I'm not going to go out there and say, look, I found radiation, and it turns out to be I just waved it over some black sand so that I can get you to listen to me scare you into getting me more views and such. You know, I'm going to give you an honest deal. I'm going to say, look, see how high it is right here? This is black sand, which is naturally higher radiation than this sand over here. And once you get to the water, you'll notice that this isn't ticking as fast anymore. There are certain materials out there, including bananas, who have natural radiation in bananas. A lot of people don't know that bananas have like a potassium in it's naturally radioactive. And there's other materials out there in the same way. You know, granite. There's radioactivity in granite. And
when you brought that one up, Thomas brought that up here a while back, that there are people that have granite countertop in their kitchen that the level of radiation from that granite is 3 times higher than they have set the safety limits for. But yet these people are surviving. I mean, come on, man.
Well, that's why I say we got to put things in their proper place perspective.
Exactly.
Because, look, I want peace and love in the world. I want people to be able to enjoy life. I don't want them panicking over things that shouldn't be panicked over, but also don't want them overlooking serious dangers. Now, if you tell them like that, if you explain it to them in a calm sense, like, look, we really seriously do have a problem that needs to be resolved, like such as I feel like the BP oil spill is a major disaster in the works, because they shouldn't be putting this material in there that is breaking down oil. Because I understand
the oil spill is nowhere near as dangerous. Nowhere near as dangerous as what they're doing to correct it.
Yeah, they call it corrects it, but it's not correcting it. It's actually kind of making things worse.
But it's not showing up yet. But it will, eventually.
Barry said that he knows people in California have been out checking low tide pools. They're finding no life. We need more verification and mainstream exposure. I agree. You know, if this is a serious issue, then we need to get more average, trustworthy Joes out there. There's one guy out there, Kevin Blanche, that I listen to, and man, this guy's got a foul mouth like you wouldn't believe. And everything is doomsday. Everything is dying off. And if you listen to this guy, the first time I listen to him, I'm getting all panicked. I'm like, God, this thing is terrible. It's terrible. You know, we're all going to die. And, you know, I go off and tell somebody about, you know, what I heard on the doggone internet, and I'm sounding all distressed and everything. And they're sounding all distressed. But the more I got to looking into it, and as the years went by, and I listened to the whole story of Kevin Blanche and his shenanigans, he wasn't showing the facts. And it was some of the things that he went out to show that he wasn't getting right up close there. He wasn't lifting up rocks and he wasn't showing things. And so some of the tide pools that he pointed out, the guy went down there and did the same exact thing. He said, look at all these crabs. Alright? And that's what needs to be done. You get average Joes, real people out there to really take pictures. People that you know you can trust that aren't in it for the numbers or the money or the fame or fortune.
Right. Now you're talking.
You know?
Out there to find the truth. They're not out there to make money. They're out there to like you. You are exactly what I'm talking about. You're out there to try to put out the truth.
Somehow or another, I see if I can figure out a way to get out there and find out what's going on. You know, Barry has a legitimate concern. He says, has the ocean gone past the point of no return? And I hope it hasn't. I honestly do. But until we get actual average Joes out there to take water samples and honest readings, because you can't just take your average a Geiger counter out there, because you're going to pick up all kinds of background radiation that naturally occurs, and you need to bring that into perspective. There's several different pieces of machinery that should be taken out there to find out what actual materials are being released into the water and such like that. So, a real scientific venture with real trustworthy people that have nothing to gain other than to ending the panic once and for all. And for people who know a lot about wildlife to go out there, do an honest experiment, look and count the fish and everything. You see what I mean?
Yep, I do.
You're not going to get the mainstream media to do this, because if they see any profit in making it sound worse than it is, or if they have any connections with environmental companies that are organizations that hate nuclear power, they're obviously going to have a slanted view. But we need the honest truth. We don't need a slanted view. I love the planet. I want to save the planet. I want to save the trees, and I really want to save the whales and the fish and the wildlife. I honestly do. I really do. But I'm not going to give you a slanted view to bias my words to say to you so that I get you in a panic mode to further an agenda. I have no agenda other than I want the truth, and I want to live my life in peace, and I want my children to be able to be healthy. So we need to get the average Joes out there that have the same like mind as you and I and Patty and Barry and everybody to finally get some answers. You know, some folks out there have taken advantage of the situation. It's been 6 years since Fukushima occurred. All right? And so, with that said, what are the dangers at this point in the game? We need to know the truth. We need to know the reality of it. And if the reality is our oceans are dying off, people got to get their act together, and they got to get together fast, because once the oceans dies off, it's a chain reaction. Barry says many people are now talking here about growths, abnormalities, and growths on seafood, weird stuff everywhere. Well, once again, we can't overlook all the evidence presented. We know that BP's dumping crud in the ocean. We know that Fukushima's dumping crud in the ocean. We know that corporations, when they're out there in the middle of the ocean, think they can get by with it, and so they dump under crud in the ocean. People are dumping crud over aboard the ships all the time. It's been happening even when I was in the Navy. We used to throw our trash off the back of the ship, Raymond.
I know.
We did. Now, did I think anything about it? No, I was ordered to throw the trash off the back, you know. Okay, so we threw the trash off the back. I don't know what all was in that trash. But I was guilty of environmental terrorism while I was serving in the Navy, because I was throwing garbage over the plastic bags over the trash. All right? This is before all this, before I had any kind of, wonder what the heck was going on. But now that I'm aware of, that wasn't the right thing to do, I wish I could go back and scuba dive down and pick up the bag of trash and put it in its proper storage, or recycle it or something. There's got to be a point when common sense takes over and we understand that dumping things into our oceans is not the right thing to do. But when it comes to ulcers on the side of fish, we need to understand what caused this ulcer. If it was radiation, we need to resolve this situation, because we don't want our fish dying. If it was from the BP oil spill, the corrective that they've been dumping down, and this stuff is killing off the fish, We need to find out. We need to get these fish. We need to get them in the laboratories, take samples of everything, get down to the brass tacks of what's actually occurring. You see what I mean? And if radioactive materials and nuclear power plants are really as dangerous as they're portrayed, then maybe we ought to consider trying to shut them down. Maybe we ought to consider all the alternative methods by which to generate electrical power. We've talked about so many different options out here on the Mad Science Show that if anybody was to pay serious attention, we might have already had it resolved, man. You see what I mean?
I see exactly what you mean. I see exactly what you're talking about.
So, you know, what do we do from here on out? First, I say, when you go forth and you're going to talk about issues, you need to make sure that you take all your facts with you. This is what we know. This is exactly what we know. It's not overhyped. This is these experiments have been done, and they say that this is what's causing this, and we need to resolve this. That's the common sense way to do it, because when you tell that story to somebody, like if I was just coming out of the woodwork and somebody told me that the whole entire ocean was radioactive, my God, my brother lives in Florida, and I'd be worried about him because he likes to go scuba diving, and my nephews, they like to go surfing and stuff like that, and I'd be scared. You know, I don't want my family hurt. And so I would be on the phone with my brother saying, stay out of the ocean, stay out of the ocean. My brother would say, what are you talking about, fool?
You
know? Yeah. I've done it before. When the doomsdayers told me that the doggone something was going to happen and it was going to cause, because Florida is only like 500 feet above sea level or something like that, and they said that the whole Florida was going to be underwater. I called my brother up. Honestly, I really seriously did. I called my brother up and I said, do you still have your boat? I did. He said, no, I sold it. Why? I said, oh, God. I said, why don't you come visit me for a while?
Come down. You don't have a boat.
Patty said, TEPCO has stated that the contaminated water used to flush the cooling towers has been flowing into the ocean off the coast of Japan. So we can surmise that there is indeed contamination. How far? We also know that those who live in Japan are not allowed to report on Fukushima, such as the Colbert Report, a very credible news source, but he will not and has not mentioned what is what is not accurate. The blackout of credible information is due to censorship for whatever reason. And if we are not given the information, then many will try to determine the effects of partial facts or not at all, just saying. She's right. And that's one of the problems right there. Because let's take any conspiracy theory out there. When the government ain't being up front with you, then that leaves everybody else to have to fill in the blanks. And when the government tries to discount anybody who tries to ask about it, then that automatically makes people suspicious that something worse is going on. So simply by not telling what the truth is, the government's making it worse and making the conspiracies get even stronger and even giving birth to new conspiracies, which is the same thing that's happening with Fukushima radiation. If they're not allowing the people to tell what their stories are, hey, you know, my family's really seriously getting sick about this thing right here. And this is what they say. If those stories aren't getting out, then that leaves all the alternative community to basically filling in the blanks, speculating on what the possibilities are, just like the World War III episode.
And they want to sell their newspapers.
Yeah. Well,
they're going to make as bad as they possibly can because there's nothing there to stop them.
Well,
so they're going to sell their newspapers.
Barry says, we are seeing major effects on the ocean. We have to demand the info. I agree. And hold mainstream and media accountable for providing it. I agree. And Patty says, our government, as well as others, also culpable as they have not given the people information that will alleviate fears and confirm. See, that's the point. That's why we have to be the ones who are vigilant. Those folks out there who pay attention have to be the ones that are vigilant and make the phone calls to the governors and the senators and the congressmen and stuff. I wrote a letter to the President of the United States, for Pete's sake. I never got a response. I wrote a letter to TEPCO. I never got a response. Who am I? I'm just the average Joe. Nobody has to answer to me. But, you know, you'd think that if they wanted to alleviate somebody's fears, that they would say, hey, you know, we got this under control. This is what's going on. We appreciate your offer, but, you know, it's not necessary at this point in time. You see what I mean?
Right.
But no response means that I have to fill in the blanks. I have to go do the investigation for myself, either go stand there in Japan, measure the water and all the stuff, and find the answers so I can bring them back to give them to all my friends and family and say, look, we're okay. You know? Or we're not. We got a really serious problem. I understand how the nuclear process works. I understand how nuclear reactors function from top to bottom. And I understand the dangers of different types of materials and the time schedules of when they finally deteriorate and stuff like that. And so, I will tell you honestly the truth from stage to stage at your danger point. Obviously, if you're standing in the heart of the reactor, you're done. All right? The farther you get away from it for a long time, you're better off than the average Joe. But when it comes down to, like, Galen Windsor doing the nuclear scare scam, one of the debunking portions of Galen Windsor's nuclear scare scam video was that, oh, well, he died of leukemia. But the point that they missed out on was they didn't say that he died at the age of 82.
Right.
Makes a big difference. Now, if they told me, okay, well, Galen Windsor died at the age of 82 of leukemia, that's less fearful than him dying a couple years after he ate some uranium of leukemia.
Right.
That's what I'm trying to say.
82 years old, not 82.
Yeah, 82 years old. I'm just trying to... I'm trying to put it all in perspective. I'm not trying to delegitimize the concerns of those folks out there in the world, because I love this planet too. I want this thing, and just like Patty just said, too many questions and no answers. That's the problem. That's why we need to hold them to the count, hold them accountable. Oh, she said, I missed that before the other one. The one thing I think about, the owner of Colbert Report lives in Tokyo. He has not left, nor does he seem to have suffered since the event. Makes me wonder why he would stay in a place the radiations were severe, state as contradictory. See, that's what I'm talking about. My son went to Japan. And I warned him against it, because at that time I heard the whole story about Fukushima, and I was like, you don't want to go over there because, you know, you don't know what you're going to run into. He went anyway. He's still around. Anyway, trying to put it in perspective is all we're trying to do here, to make sure that when the fear is out there, it's justified, you know, to the proper level. Does that make sense?
Yep.
You know, we got a lot of problems in this world.
A lot.
And I honestly believe that we, the people, could fix it. Every bit of it. I think we could fix it together. But it's going to take more conversations like this, and it's going to take more actions and more people going without agenda to get the answers and bring those answers back. Obviously, if I want to shout, save the trees, I shouldn't be out there in public with a wooden stick and a paper sign. If I want to shout save the trees, I do it while I'm planting a tree.
Right.
And I'm telling everybody, look, I'm planting this tree because those idiots are over there chopping them down at an alarming rate. We need to plant more trees. I'm going to lead by example by planting that tree and doing a video and explaining, this is why I'm planting this tree, because I'm afraid they're going to kill us off by killing off all the trees.
You know, Weyerhaeuser is a large paper company.
Yeah.
The thing is, they started over 50 years ago. In fact, about really close to 100 years ago, they started, for every tree they cut down, they'd plant two. Well, now, it's 100 years later, every time they cut a tree down, they plant four.
Well, that's a good way.
Yes.
But see, well,
there are good companies out there, and there's bad companies. There are companies that don't give a damn, excuse my French, but they don't give a damn about people.
You know what I'm proving by standing out there with my wooden stick and my paper sign saying save the trees?
Right.
Do you know what I'm proving to the world? Is that I'm waiting for somebody else to resolve this issue.
Uh-huh.
All right, that's what I've just proved to the world. I'm waiting for somebody else to do the right thing. And it's not going to happen. They're going to still cut the trees down. You know? And so, with that said, get out there and plant some trees.
Right.
And that goes with any other protest out there. When you're standing out there protesting and you're showing your strength by standing out there with your signs or throwing bricks through your community windows and stuff, what you're showing people is you're not getting your way and you're doing property damage and you're waiting for somebody else to right the wrongs of what the government has done. Let me tell you something. If you get on the phone with the congressman, he might ignore you. All right? But right after he hangs up that phone, it rings again, and somebody else is on the phone with him, it's less a chance that he's going to ignore that. And then every time he tries to set the phone down, somebody else calls. Same message, same thing. You're on the phone with the senators and congressmen, they start seeing the natives are getting restless, but this time they're not doing the crazy thing like going out protesting in the streets. They're protesting the governor right straight to his face.
Right.
All right, and the mainstream media's lying to you. You're standing on their lawn asking them why you're lying to us.
Exactly.
You know, that's how it should have been done, but it ain't. It ain't because people want to go out there, they want to get on TV, and they think the TV is going to show them in a wonderful light, and the protest is going to be beneficial. What's it don't? It gives guys like George Soros a happy smile on his face that he can sit there and destabilize nations without ever getting off his couch. That he can use his money and his power and his influence to get you out in the streets to create a ruckus and tear up your own communities so that his agenda could be furthered. That's how you guys are getting played like banjos.
Out of tune, too.
Yeah, out of tune.
Oh, Lord.
What needs to be done is exactly what we've been trying to point out for a long time. Folks, if you believe in this cause, I'm not asking you for any donations. I'm not asking you for anything under the sun outside to tell somebody. Share this information. Let them hear these words. You know, and if you got words of wisdom to share, jump on the microphone. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's see. Does Barry want in? Try to add Barry in there. Add people to this call. Okay, let me see if I can get him in there. First, I gotta find him. Anyway. There are right ways and wrong ways to do things. Let's see. There's Barry. Let's add him to the call. There are right ways and wrong ways to do things in this world. Folks, if you honestly believe what we're talking about and you think that that's the right message to send out and that some common sense needs to be heard about people, make up some flyers and send them out to people, you know. Make some business cards or something and tell them about this show and tell them to come here. We'll all talk it out together. instead of rushing into panic mode, we'll work it out. We'll find out what the realities are. We got access to a lot of information. We got to put it out there in a responsible manner in order to ensure that we get things accomplished in the right way. You know, over here in Missouri, there was an episode that went on out there because of perceptions of what went on. Those folks tore their own communities apart. They destroyed their businesses and just made a mess out of things. And they gave those who in power even more power. Because if you paid attention to things like the Patriot Act and the National Defense Authorization Act and all the other legislations that they snuck in under the radar, they gave themselves more power just in case you acted the way you did. And if somebody like George Soros decided to stir the pot and get you all riled up, well, now there's justification to enact putting those police state uniforms out there on the road. We got to be smarter than the average bear if we're going to try to play chess with the bear. We need to know where the pawns are and where they're not. Hi, Barry.
Good morning, guys.
How's it going?
Oh, just getting ready to actually go out in the woods today. Fiddleheads are starting now, so we're going to be picking mushrooms here for the next, well, they're not mushrooms, they're actual fern, but we're going to be picking them now for about the next month. So, yeah, I'm just listening to the conversation. And good conversation, guys, but Fukushima, I'll tell you, I am talking now, a couple years ago there wasn't a lot of talk in our community about our seafood, but now it seems to be the top of conversation everywhere I go. Anybody that I talk to about the ocean up here now seems to be sharing the same effect or same idea or same opinion that the ocean's dying, because they're seeing things up here that they've never seen before with our clams and our crabs. We're not really seeing the effects of Fukushima like California is here yet, but it's starting to show up and people are starting to really pay attention. The First Nations, all the leaders of the First Nations up here have called another meeting in Prince Rupert in 3 weeks from now to discuss the abnormalities that they're seeing in seafood right now. And they had one last year, and last year at that point there's only trace elements of nuclear isotopes showing up, but they're increasing and we're seeing all kinds of stuff that we don't normally see in our seafood now starting to appear here. So the community is becoming very aware.
What we can do about it at this
point, honestly, at this point, we in chat there, we were talking about the ocean and whether we're at the point of no return. And I don't believe we're at the point of no return yet, but I believe we're getting very close to it, guys.
Might I add a suggestion and see if I get a response out of this deal, is that just in case, if people in the communities around you who have, access to the ocean and being able to catch fish or whatever, and have access to a place where they could actually put together small hatcheries and keep things going. Kind of like, as crazy as this sounds, a zoo. A zoo kind of keeps animals from going extinct because you got some of each. You see what I mean?
Yeah, hatchery fish isn't the answer.
Well, I'm just saying, as opposed to them all dying off. Yeah, losing this. Look, over there in, I can't remember what country it is, but they got this huge seed bank for just such an emergency. Whether it'd work out or not, that's neither here nor there. But the fact is, they got a sample of all the seeds of everything that grows on the planet for some purpose or another. I'm thinking we the people got to be smarter than the average bear if they're polluting the doggone ocean to the extent that it's all going to die off and we're going to lose all these species. I'd like to grab some of them up and put them in a fish tank and keep them alive and nurture them and try to do something positive. You see what I'm saying?
I see what you're saying, but if that's feasible or not, that remains to be seen. I hope that the human race doesn't allow us to get to that point where we need to be thinking like this, and it's a travesty that we're even thinking like this right now, saving the salmon. But really, if the ocean is to a point where it isn't supporting life, then what is the point of even farming salmon if you're never going to be able to release them back into the ocean, into a natural environment? It's a good concept, but feasibly, I don't see that being a reality. Salmon that are raised in captivity and fed food by man are some of the most toxic ingredients that you can put in your body in the planet Earth today. I mean, I've read reports on farmed fish out of Norway and Sweden and stuff, and to eat that stuff, you're basically eating poison. So that's not the answer. The answer is now for the human race to universally stand up and say that every scientist in the world has to work on this problem of protecting the ocean.
No,
because it is the most important thing that we can do in our lives right now, bar none.
I agree. But
nothing else is more important.
I agree, but
and
as
if it's what it is,
as an
well, if it is what
joke,
we're saying, Shaziz, then we really need to get people on board and screaming at our governments. Because they're not going to listen unless we scream in voice and in mass.
Yeah.
They're just going to turn their back because they have no concern about what is going on, it seems like, in the ocean. So.
Well, I hope that you don't think that my meaning is to delegitimize the dangers of it, but I want to put it all in perspective. And the reason why I mentioned the Average Joe doing something, because Average Joe, I feel helpless right now. And the only thing I can do is grab up whatever fish I can and put them in a safe spot and try to keep them alive in case, you know, it happens, because I don't want to see them go by the wayside. And I mentioned the doggone zoos, because they got animals in there that some of them probably going to stink by now. And, mm-hmm. You know, I'm worried. I'm honestly worried. And even with the Fukushima incident, I'm honestly worried. But I want to put it in perspective. I want to get down to the brass tacks. I want people to do some measurements. I want people to get people involved. And if the government ain't going to listen to you, then we, the people, got to get out there. We got to buy the Geiger counters. We got to buy the testing equipment. And we got to test it ourselves to find out so we know exactly where we stand. Otherwise, my grandpa used to say, nothing's going to get done unless you get up and do it yourself. Nobody's going to do it for you. And we're worried about this. We've had these people sent to office to be our representation. And if they're not doing the job, we ain't got time to wait around to vote them out. All right? We'll vote them out next time around. But we, the people, need to get together in networks and communities. And we need to go out there. We need to find out the truth about what's happening in Japan, what's happening in California, what's happening where the BP oil spill was. Was that in the the Gulf of Mexico is what that was? I can't remember.
Yep. Yeah, of course. It was in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yeah, I got a brother in Florida. I can call him up and have him send me some water samples, you know, and take some video and stuff like that. This is what I'm talking about, networking, like we're kind of doing here right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to get down to it so that when we deliver this information to everybody, because if I just stand back and I absorb all this information and I feel completely helpless, I might as well just lay down in bed and go back to sleep, because there ain't nothing I can do about it. I don't want to do that. I want to, if there's an issue out there that I can have any effect to resolve, you see what I mean?
Well, I just hope that what we're talking about actually makes sense to people and they start paying attention and start doing things they can do right now, like people in California. If you're close to the ocean, I mean, I've read report after report after report about observations in the low tide pools, and they're not finding life in the low tide pools. Well, I'd like to get somebody else to go verify that. I'd like to get 100 people to go to the coast today and go to the low tide pools and have a look. Get your magnifying glasses out. You should be able to see life in there. You can always see life in the low tide pools.
Yeah.
It's just, if they're not, if life isn't there and these reports are true, and I would really, really like an absolute positive verification, but I've read 7 reports or 8 reports in the last couple weeks about the low tide pools in California. And if there is no life in the low tide pools, guys, we are in serious, serious, serious trouble.
Yeah.
And that is a point where the human race has got to scream and say, hey, wait a second, guys. We really need to address this issue. Nothing else. All this political crap is all crap.
Yeah.
It's just a distraction. All this entertainment that goes on in our society is just a distraction.
We
really got to start identifying the problems.
We need honest, unbiased, real verification of what is actually going on out there without no agenda involved other than to getting the truth out. And see, there's why I'm calling out the truther community out there. if you folks really honestly want to get the truth out there, then you do it like what Barry and I and Raymond's talking about. You get out there and you take those samples and you share them in an honest fashion. We don't want to hear all the skies falling. We want to hear the brass tacks. If this is really going on and there ain't no life in those pools, it needs to be known. And if everybody and his brother is doing the same thing in their own general vicinity, if you're in Florida listening and you go down and check them out and you come back with us with the truth, you know, we want all that information so we can compile it, and then we'd have some sort of standing when we go stand in front of our representatives and put it down, the hard facts in front of them, say, why ain't you doing anything about this?
Exactly. If 1,000 people in California went out today and observed the low tide pools, and 1,000 people got on social media tonight and said, yeah, this is really happening, folks, you would see the impact. It would be a ripple effect through community and the implications that are actually involved with the death of low tide pools. I mean, really, that would, I think, go a long ways into waking people up, but people have to get actively involved in verifying some of this information that we share with you.
That's right. We honestly need your help. I mean, Patty mentioned earlier, go out and hang some flyers up and tell people about this show and get more people together. You know, rent a community hall or something and have them all listen in on the show and hear what Barry's got to say and what Raymond and myself and Patty and everybody else and Steven, you know, hear what we got to say. Hear us out. We tell you there's solutions out there. There are solutions, but, you know, if the clock's ticking and you don't even know there's a problem, there ain't nothing we can do about it. We're going to wake up one day, and just like a thief in the night, it's going to hit us like a ton of bricks, and by that time, it's too late. You know, we don't want to get to that point. We want to get this thing resolved.
Well, without being a fearmonger, I urge people to really take a look, because, like I said earlier, I think we're getting close to the point of no return. The food chain is what it is. The food chain is an incredible creation of my creator, and when that food chain is jeopardized and pieces start getting taken out of it, then eventually it's inevitable that the food chain will collapse. It's inevitable. You can't avoid that fact. And what's going to happen in society, all of a sudden the food chain will collapse, and society will go, wait a second, hold on, why is this happening? How come we weren't informed? How come mainstream media hasn't been telling us about the effects, and why has it been kept away from us? And you'll see it. But by that point, guys, it's going to be too late.
You know,
I mean, I don't want to say that with fear. I'm not saying that with fear. I'm honestly saying that from what I've observed and what I understand and what I can see right now going on. If we don't address it here very shortly, we might get to the point of no return. And that's a real travesty that our generation could be responsible for saying that, or the last three generations can say, hey, we're responsible for killing the planet. Great. What a legacy.
The government.
We got to look at the mirror, guys.
The governments of the world like to validate their lack of information that they tell the general public under the guise of public safety. We don't want everybody to panic. But I think the majority of us are old enough that we can take the truth. We want to hear exactly what's going on, know where we stand, and what we have to do to resolve it, you know? If it's flat-out doomsday, and there ain't nothing we can do, we all better go just live the rest of our life as happily as we can and enjoy it while we can, because it's gone. But I can't in good, honestly, right mind do that, because I got two beautiful little grandchildren. Actually, three now. I got two grandbabies, two girls and one boy. And I'm thinking about their future. I want them to have a future. I want them to have a life, and I want them to be able to see the fish and the birds and the trees and all that. So we need to find out what the truth is. All of it. And the only way it's going to get done is if the average Joe gets out there and takes the samples. You become the scientist. You become the researcher. You go out there. You do the footwork. And you tell. I'll tell you what my community's like. I'll tell you what I found with the water samples in mine. Right up the street from me, there's an aluminum factory. All right, and this aluminum factory, they have a habit of dumping things down the drain in the middle of the night, and you'll get like soap suds and stuff that comes down the creek. That's obviously not good, because that particular creek goes straight on down past my property and on into the city lake that they use for a water aquifer. And that water is then taken up to the plant where they try to clean it up and they send it back down to all the people to drink. So, I'll hold these people accountable for what they're doing. I'll put it out there to the public. Look, they're dumping crud down the water that's heading right straight to the city lake. And that's what you got to do in your neighborhood. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It has to be done, folks. They're not going to do it for us because these folks, it's the bottom line. It's the money. If it costs some money to ship it out, they'll find a different way to hide it under the rug. They do this to communities all over the world. Big corporations don't care. They're going to cut corners and they're going to make money. That's how they stay in business.
Well, what's that money going to do for them, Shazus, when they can't feed their own kids, when they're forced to go into their underground bunkers?
Well,
what are they going to eat? I mean, you know, and I these people that have built these underground cities and they figure they're going to go there and disappear and hide for 10 or 20 or however long they have to hide there until the earth is inhabitable again. Well, I've got a news flash for them, Shazus. Mother Nature's going to play them an awfully nasty card.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I believe that. They're going to crawl underground and figure they're safe. And old Mother Nature's going to hit them with a 9.2. That'll be the end of their story.
Yeah, they're not going to fare so well. They didn't think it all the way through. I saw an interesting deal where they had a bunch of college students, and they had walked through scenarios of, they had a storm shelter or a bunker, World War III nuclear bunker or whatever, and they had to decide who was able to go in and who wasn't. And they went through all, played all these different scenarios out to who had to stay outside, who got to go in, and how it all turned out. And at the end of the whole deal, the guy at the professor, he ends up outside the deal, and everybody else ends up inside the deal. It was like a we the people kind of choice, and they all ended up inside the deal, and you know, because he was saying that you had to kill somebody and not let them go in or whatever. Anyway, when it all said and done, the people spoke, they were all inside the bunker, and he's outside the bunker, and he's got the only code to get them out of the bunker, and so they end up going into a state of cannibalism to try to survive inside this. It was god-awful, man. And so, I'm saying, these guys go down inside these bunkers, and all the average Joes out here are so frustrated because they're going down in the bunker when they know they're leaving us out here to die. There's going to be farmers out there with tractors and concrete trucks and whatever, plugging up air vents and blocking off, and they'll never get out of there. They just walk into their own tomb because that's the mentality of if we ain't going to, it's like the mutual assured destruction plan between nations. If we can't have it, you ain't getting it. And if you're leaving us out here to die, you ain't coming out in the future. That's all there is to it. So it's not just nature they got to worry about. What a mess.
Well, I think as a human race, we're committing suicide right now because nuclear power is going to kill the planet. I can't see us avoiding that. I really can't. I look at nuclear power over the last, what the proliferation of nuclear power came to society, what, in the 50s and 60s when they really started pushing it and started building plants. And we look, what, 60 years down the road, and what do we see? Everywhere in the world there's nuclear power. We're having massive problems, and it's only the beginning.
Yeah,
too bad. Every plant we look at is having problems. Every nuclear facility is having problems. There's scrams being reported every day from nuclear facilities all around the world.
Well,
it's only a matter of time before we get more major meltdowns. We get a geological event happening and a major tsunami hitting a coast, and then all of a sudden the human race is going, wait a second, hold on, this nuclear power ain't such a great idea.
Yeah.
Well, think about nuclear, there is no on-off switch.
Well,
there isn't a switch. When these plants are fired up, they have to wait until, you know that. I'm actually repeating what you've said, that there is no on-off switch, that they have to run till the rods are used.
Yeah.
So if we have an issue near a major power plant, it's not like they can go in there today and have the thing completely shut down and stable and not a threat to them. That doesn't exist.
Listen, to add injury to insult, if they were to start a World War III type scenario, you think that ain't going to be a target?
Well, of course it would.
The idea of war is to do as much damage as you can.
if you were a terrorist inside the United States of America right now and you wanted to cripple the states from the inside out, what would you attack?
Yeah.
And you tell me there isn't terrorists right now in the United States of America or Canada. Our government's opening the doors wide open to these people. And the mechanisms they could inflict on our society is just mind-boggling when I think about what a terrorist could attack in Canada. To cripple Canada.
Wait, it's
right there.
You're talking dirty bomb.
You're talking about anything that they can get their hands on.
Dirty bomb. I mean, okay. Come on. Every nuclear power plant in the United States is a potential dirty bomb.
Exactly.
Yeah. What is a dirty bomb?
It's basically where it's not, it doesn't have the power of splitting the atom like nuclear fusion for an atomic warhead exploding. It doesn't have that, but it has radioactive qualities that basically, you know, spits all this radioactive material around and contaminates the area that it's in, which can cause a lot of problems.
Yep.
You know, and there's where the difference lies, folks. That's why I want to try to explain the difference when I talk about radioactivity or radioactive contamination. If you want to tell your story right, make sure that you're using the terminology radioactive contamination, because there's a big difference between radiation. Radioactive contamination means that, you know, if you get this stuff internally via your lungs or via food that you're eating or whatever, you got to understand that there's where the dangers lie. All right? And with these folks knowing that they can, like, you know, blow up a nuclear power plant if they can manage to pull it off and spit all the fuel rods and stuff out all over the deal, you got serious issues going on. You know, the biggest portion of the nuclear power plant that makes me fear the most isn't necessarily the radioactive rods, which I think were ridiculous to begin with, but nonetheless, what makes me the most worried about there is the potential of a hydrogen explosion, because I know the power of hydrogen, and it doesn't take much for a massive, massive noise. All right, and with the power that those things are basically generating steam at, 650 PSI to 1250 PSI. Somewhere there used to be a doggone video that showed whenever you take a hot water tank out of an average home and you plug off the deal that basically is the pressure release on there, and you just boil it away until you pressurize that thing to where it will literally explode. If you think I'm wrong, go get you a old can of pork and beans or something like that. Go out there and stick them in the burn pile and just walk back as far as you can. Stay back away from that burn pile and wait for that thing to pressurize and listen to the noise and the percussion that one little can of pork and beans is going to make when it explodes. That is some serious power. Now, amplify that times the size of the pressure container that is actually the containment unit of the reactor itself. That's why you see the big giant holes in the side of the building at Fukushima. And the question that I'm trying to get to the bottom of is, did the radioactive rods get ejected from the core itself? Did the little ceramic pellets that's inside the zirconium casings get ejected from the deal? Because if those got ejected, that's where the major danger lies. And so that's what we need to find out. We need to find out exactly what happened, what got ejected from that deal. If the thing is sitting on a water table and the bottom of the containment unit was breached and it's actually fell down into the water table, we need to seriously find a way to get down there and remove it. It's as simple as that. So, you know, when we talk about this stuff, we got to get down to the seriousness of it. We got to get down to the actual science of it. It is a definite problem. And what they're doing with BP, dumping the Corexit in there, that can't go by the wayside either. You know, the EPA told them they had to reduce how much they were dumping in. The EPA should have told them that they need to stop dumping it in. What do you think, Barry?
Well, at this point, Shaziz, if the whole human race doesn't realize that all life comes from the ocean, then we are in trouble because we just continually abuse the ocean.
Yeah,
and I don't know what it's going to take for people to wake up to the most important issue in our lives. Because like you said earlier, Shaziz, you've got grandchildren, and I've got grandchildren, and I've got kids that are coming into this planet and going to go through this world. And I tell you, man, they're not going to see the same kind of life that I got to enjoy. I just cannot see that. Based on what I'm observing right now with the die-off of our species, man, I'm president die-off of mammals. I'm president die-off of fish. Why can't the human race go, wait a second, we really need to come together and address this issue? Well, we know there's lots of reasons why that's not happening. My prayer today is that people will really start to get involved and start paying attention.
Barry?
And outside of that, I don't know what else I can do because I feel some days like I'm banging my head against the wall.
So do I.
I really do.
Barry, the mainstream media holds some culpability to this because while they were out laughing in people's faces about chemtrails and HARP and all the different craziness that the government were testing things to make weapons of war or whatever, for whatever purpose they were doing it, it ceases to be a conspiracy theory when birds start dropping from the sky. It's no longer a conspiracy theory. There's a question. Why are these birds falling out of the air like that?
Why are millions of fish washing up on our shores all over the planet right now? Whales. Why are starfish no longer present on the coast of British Columbia? People really got to start asking questions. Do you think it's just normal? You think that that this is just going to keep going on the way it is and we're not going to see catastrophic events? You really got to pay attention. Like I said earlier, she says, I'm not a fear-mongering type of guy. I am not. The word fear, the mechanism of fear, is something that I detest. It's such an implication or such an impact on people. Fear, fear this, fear that. I'm not talking out of fear, I'm talking out of common sense. Common sense would tell anybody that if we see what we see going on, and these are actual documented events, I mean, species die-off, when I look at this, every report that I see on the internet about species die-off, there's a link, and that link will take you to the source. And I'm clicking on these links, and every one of these sources is reputable. So I'm not afraid to share that information on the internet. There's a lot of bullcrap out on the internet, but you got to weed through it. But when you do, and you find out that this is really happening, it's got to shock you right to the core.
Yeah, and that's why I'm saying we need people out there that are listening to these shows and rebroadcasting these shows. We need the average Joe to do exactly what we said. We need them to go out there and test their own waters. We need them to take videos and get close up and personal and show us the facts and show each other the truth. And that way we can get this resolved, because I understand, I can feel your frustration, Barry, because I'm right there with you, brother. I'm right there in the same boat. And I'm telling everybody out there, if the situation is serious as the information that I've been presented with, I'm concerned. I looked out in my yard one day and I saw these little burn marks on the tree leaves, on the leaves. I never saw it before in my life. There were these little burn marks on the tree leaves, and I started asking. I did research out there on the internet to see if anybody else was talking about these strange burn marks on the tree leaves. And I found that there were other people that were noticing the same doggone thing. I can walk through my property and I can find all kinds of trees like maples and elms and stuff that are dying. And I don't understand why they're dying outside of a potential, climate shift. And, I'm not an advocate of global warming or climate change, but I do believe that, climates can shift depending on the tilt of the earth or whatever, There's lots of different ways that would interact with the environment, so to speak. But if I got trees dying on my property over here and you got trees dying on your property, that tells me there's something in the air that shouldn't be there that is landing on these leaves. Like, I don't remember. Do you remember back when they used to have this term called acid rain?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember?
That was a big thing in the 70s.
Walking out there, like here recently, I walked out and every time it gets done raining, there's this crazy looking stuff that's on all the cars. It looks almost like mud. All right. Has anybody ever done any testing on that stuff that looks like mud? You see what I mean?
Well, you think the Department of Health, that would be the first thing they'd want to test, but sure. That's never done. So why?
That's the question.
Why?
Why aren't they doing that? And when I see airplanes flying through the sky and I see all these streaks in the sky, I didn't see those when I was a kid. All right? And people will sit there and tell me I'm stupid because, you know, those are condensation trails. Those aren't chemtrails or whatever. I'm like, hey, look, I was born at night, but what, last night? Something ain't right there. After those...
You know, I was going to say, Shazaz, even in my community now, I mean, I've taken pictures of chemtrails being sprayed over terrace, and I show people in my community these pictures on my phone. Oh, that's just a jet trail. I go, wait a second, hold on. You know that any jet vapor, normal jet vapor, will dissipate in 15 seconds or less. That's a fact. So if it's there for more than 15 seconds, it's not jet vapor. And I challenge them to go look that up on the internet. And now I got people in my community going, wait a second, hold on. Why are they spraying this stuff over our head? It's a metal-based particulate they're spraying in the atmosphere. We have this thing called gravity. Where's it going to end up?
Yeah, and so well, what?
I mean, why can't... But people are too busy walking around on their phones. They don't look up anymore.
Yeah, I know.
Our whole society's got neck problems now because they're glued to their cell phones, which is one of the biggest mechanisms of mind control that they've ever implemented on us, and people don't see it, don't recognize it, don't understand what's going on.
And what we got to ask is, what's the purpose? Why are they spraying that stuff, and who gave them the permission? Look.
Yeah. Did my government say it's okay to spray these in my sky?
Yeah.
Well, it's not the government. It's the UN that's dictating this. We know that. We know that our governments are no longer governments, that they're all just a mechanism of the United Nations in disguise. And we see this agenda being played out via the United Nations all over the world.
Well, as far as...
come on, guys, wake up.
As far as conspiracy theories goes, the chemtrail deal is one of the probably... biggest one out there, as far as I'm concerned, to the extent that somebody is a pilot and somebody is flying around and either knowingly or unknowingly dumping crud in the air. If you dump your toilet as you're flying over a populated area, you can be fined for doing that. All right? If they catch you doing that. All right,
but aluminum and beryllium and some arsenic and a little strontium, that's okay.
Yeah.
Don't worry about that, guys. It's all good for you.
So that's the question I'm asking. If you're a pilot and you're knowingly doing that, you're killing off your own kids too. And even if you, let's say you believe it's perfectly safe, but you don't know the long term ramifications, you're still irresponsibly dumping it, and you're doing it against the people's will, because the average Joe, if they knew that stuff was being dumped in the air for a fact, there'd be pitchforks and shovels at the doggone White House for, you know, straightening the issue out, because, you know, there's a lot of people that have asthma, all right, that don't want to be breathing in crud. There's a lot of people that have a lot of bronchitis and stuff that they never had before, would automatically attribute it to the stuff being sprayed in the air. And you want to talk about a ruckus? You find some father or mother that realize that their child is now sick because of something the government did intentionally without their approval. Well, yeah, you'd see folks get a little bit rowdy over that. But the average Joe doesn't know, because the mainstream media, and even in some of the alternative media, they are basically watering it down. All right. Oh, no, they wouldn't do that. Government wouldn't do that. It's debunked. And go out and look at any conspiracy theory out there. You'll see the bad side. You'll see the debunked side. And there's where the shield and the misinformation and the disinformant and all that kind of stuff is in full force, because when you're trying to put information out like this, people just don't either want to hear it, or they don't want to believe it, or they don't want you saying it, and they will do whatever it is to maintain the power structure that is the governments of the world. Am I wrong?
No, you're right. Unfortunately, a lot of society are still sheeple. I mean, it only takes time to go on the internet and start researching some of this information. And really, when you start looking into anything that we talk about, any aspect of attack on our health, either we talk about vaccines, we talk about GMOs, we talk about fluoride in our water, we talk about what they're spraying in our sky, what Roundup and glucophage do to the very biosphere of our planet right now, the unbelievable reports that are coming out about that worldwide, and yet it continues to go on, day in, day in. I mean, I'm going, man, am I a lunatic? Am I the only person out here that wants to go to their window right now and scream at the top of their lungs to get somebody to listen? Well, I think people are really starting to pay attention, but it scares the crap out of them. It really does.
Yep.
To think that their government would be so benign and so evil to actually do something that is detrimental to their health. But once people get over that little wall and they realize that, hey, everything that we're being told is not the truth, that they're lying to us, that they're manipulating us, and that they're actually killing us, they're making us so sick as a society, they're dumbing us down so badly, we can't eat good food, we can't breathe good air, we can't drink good water. Well, what kind of a human race are we developing? What is going to come in the next 5 years?
Well,
these are really, really hard questions we got to ask ourselves.
It doesn't just stop there, Barry. It also has to do with the psychological destruction that's going on from all the being afraid of whatever. There's a terrorist behind every bush. There's a doomsday. You know, every time you turn around, there's a possible World War III. And so if this turned out to be just a psychological mind screw of epic proportions, they're making people miserable, including myself, who's freaked out over the whole deal. And I'm trying to get a grip on it. I'm trying to bring people to the table. Patty said in the chat room, Shaziz, I don't think 3 hours is adequate time for your show. Just saying. And Steve's talking about, do drones need pilots? No, we got drones to worry about now, because any given drone could be carrying something that you didn't want landed on you. So I'm asking the people, I'm begging the people of the world, put some flyers out, put some people in the chat rooms, come and talk to us, and let's get things resolved. Tell us what you found in your creeks and your lakes, and you know, be honest about it. Don't do it for some fear tactic or get attention, because this is a serious situation. All right, we need to know the truth. If everybody's living in fear of something that ain't coming around, then we need to know that as well. But if everybody is in true danger, then we need to come together and resolve it, because it's blatantly obvious from the track record of those who are supposedly in charge and those who are running the financial institutions of the world. The military-industrial complex makes money hand over fist. The bankers make money hand over fist. The government bails out the banks, takes away your home, and then the banks get to resell your home for a second or third or maybe fourth or fifth time, and they're making money off of the backs of the honest people of the world. It's got to stop, people. I'm 51 years old. Raymond's older than I am. I don't even remember how old Barry is, but I'm 51 years old, and it don't take 51 years to resolve a starving baby in this world. It don't take
11 years on you, Shaziz.
Well,
so you know.
See?
I got 11 years
on you. I'm the youngest one in the crew.
I can brag now, but I can't.
Go ahead, Stephen. Put it out there. I think you're in your 70s, aren't you, Stephen?
But guys, am I wrong?
I was the oldest person here until Patty came. Hey, if I'm going to relinquish, I couldn't do it to a better person.
If it did it take 51 years or 73 years or 60 some odd years, did it take that many years to solve starvation and homelessness and sickness in the world?
Well, let's see. I want to talk about chemtrails. Do you know that there were a lot of chemtrails during the very last part of the Second World War? And you're talking about the Third World War?
What about Vietnam?
Yeah, really.
They sprayed what they classified as Agent Orange to defoliate the deal so the enemy wouldn't have a place to hide. Made our own soldiers sick. They didn't care.
Exactly.
When the soldiers came back from Vietnam, people spit in their faces, called them baby killers and everything else under the sun.
Because they were uninformed.
Yeah. And the military...
Disinformed.
The military overlooked the soldiers after trying to cope with the terribleness of the situation, and they were doing all kinds of drugs just to try to get along.
Right.
Folks... You gotta stop allowing these governments and the corruption in this world to take your children and send them off to war. You got to stop allowing them to only give you a piece of the information. They need, you need to demand all the truth, all the information.
I
can't do it by myself.
The information.
My voice ain't loud enough. Barry's voice ain't loud enough. Raymond's voice ain't that loud enough. Steven's and Patty's voice ain't loud enough. Our voices aren't loud enough because there's 9 billion people on this planet. We can't clean up your creeks. We can only advise you what we learn. We can't clean up your lakes. We can't pick the trash up on the side of your road. We can't hold your representatives accountable. You have to get into the meetings. You have to talk to them.
No, wait a minute. You just said everything. You, the listener, needs to get off the couch and say your piece.
That's right.
When life gives you lemons, make lemonade. When life gives you crap, make fertilizer.
I want to tell you something. This is the most important thing that's ever going to be said on this this radio show, because everybody's out there seeking solutions to problems in this world. And so I want everyone out there listening to pay really close attention to what I'm about to say. Because the solution to all these problems out there is you. You are the solution that you've been looking for all along.
Amen. Well, Patty's saying, I date dirt. What the heck is that all about, Patty?
I don't know.
Explain that one, Miss Walking Turtle.
All right, everybody. We're down to it. We're down to it. This night's the round table, I think, has been very productive. We even talked about some wild turkeys, and Steven put a song in there, and the turkeys started dancing outside my window, and they were jive turkeys for real. You got jive turkeys in Congress. You got jive turkeys in the Senate, and all the different townships and governments, and jive turkeys running the military, and jive turkeys running the banks, and then all the different secret societies of the world. And it's time for us to stop allowing jive turkeys to pollute the land that we all need to survive on.
Wait a minute. You forgot about the burnt leaves on your trees.
Yeah, you got jive turkeys killing off my trees.
Oh, wait a minute. Really?
Yeah.
I experienced that one time in my life. I got looking around, and all of a sudden there's all these wasps stinging these leaves. Did I say something stupid? There were wasps stinging leaves. I don't know why they did that. I have no idea.
Maybe they were high on chemtrails.
Yeah, maybe they were. So I just sit back and let them do their thing. Interesting.
Well, I don't know, man. What I do know is that I've been bombarded with everything under the sun, and I'm trying to put it all in perspective and to translate that into a useful message for the rest of the world.
Patty's saying we're not ending the show. Okay.
What?
She wants us to keep going.
Well,
but Patty, get in here, okay?
I wish
you
could.
Lock the kids up in a bedroom for 5 minutes. And jump in here.
I wish
we don't mind if they're yelling in the background.
I wish I could, but unfortunately I've got a prior engagement that I have to go to, so you know the stream is available. Look, get Muddy on the line and get him to take over the stream and keep the ball rolling. And bring other people that want to do radio shows, and let's set them up as people who, you know, want to get the message out. You know, that's best I can do. But today I made promises that I must keep. And so with that said, it's about that time to go around the table. Who wants the first word?
Carol. Me.
All right, go ahead. Barry's like, me.
Me. Listen, guys. Really, we have the answers, okay? There is no doubt in my mind that we have the answers to correct everything we see going on in our planet right now, right from the top to the bottom. But if we don't implement these solutions very, very quickly, we don't realize as a human race that there is no tomorrow if we don't fix these problems and we come together and start implementing the solutions like tomorrow. I'm saying that with the urgency in my voice. I believe the solutions are there, but they have to be brought out and implemented right away. We have to stop what we're doing to this planet. We have to shut down every nuclear power plant in this planet, no matter how long it takes for those fuel rods to be expelled and we can shut them down and dispose of it. That should be our monumental cry. We have the answers, guys, but we need to implement them. I don't want to be able to stand in front of the mirror 10 years from now and say, look, Michael and Maya and my grandchildren, I knew there was answers to this, but I didn't act on it. I don't want to have to say that to my children as they're dying. And I don't want to say that in a negative term, but I can't express that without saying that. That I honestly see right now the planet dying, and if we don't reverse it, everything else is irrelevant. Nothing else should be more important to ourselves as individuals and human beings that love our children, to be able to say to ourselves right now that they're going to have the same thing that we did is a lie. They're not. And if we don't turn it around, the suffering they're going to have, I wouldn't wish on my worst enemy. So that's my thoughts for today.
Well, and I'm right there with you, brother. Look, folks, you know, the people out there during the new future of the toxic soup that your children's going to be wandering around in, we'll probably find a way to make money on designer gas masks that your kids have to wear to school. I don't want to live in a world like that, and I don't want my kids living in a world like that. So we got to get our act together and use some common sense to fix this mess that is going on and get down to the truth of everything. And that truth is going to take you going out and finding it, because you are the solution. What about you, Raymond? Raymond?
I'm with you. Right here.
Anything left?
Mike, because I don't want to say something stupid. Like, for example, what happened 200 years ago?
200 years ago?
Yes.
I don't know.
Neither do I.
A lot.
All right. Wait a minute. I don't want to say something stupid, okay? But we're going to send thousands of people out on the California coast to test the waters.
Why not?
But we don't know what happened to the water 200 years ago, or 300 years ago, or 500 years ago, or 2,000 years ago.
But we do have the...
every freaking day.
We do have the capabilities of testing for toxins that shouldn't be there, and can get the numbers together and the brilliant peoples to the table to make sense out of it, to know whether or not there is or isn't a danger to the world. And if there is wildlife dropping off like flies, we need to know about it. That's the problem.
Yeah.
We don't know.
I understand. But I also understand chemtrails.
Well,
they were here 100 years ago.
Chemtrails? They didn't even have jets 100 years ago.
Wow. Wow. Really? Really? Think about that a minute. They were here 100 years ago. Yeast made them.
Well, they're pretty good, fast-moving geese. All right, folks. Look, the fact is, we got to get down to the fact. And the only way we're going to get down to the facts is if people check things out for themselves, because we're obviously not getting the information firsthand from any of the problem areas. Look, write a letter to TEPCO and ask them, what's the facts? Write a letter to the Congress and the Senate, ask them, what's the facts? And keep writing until you get the facts. Use the Freedom of Information Act and demand the facts. After all, they do work for you, according to the U.S. Constitution, and potentially, I don't know how your Constitution works in Canada, Barry, but we got a few extra rights that some people might not have access to, and we need to utilize those while we still have the capability of utilizing them. Utilizing the internet in a responsible manner to do the research available. We've done tons of research that we try to share with everybody. And we need to continue that movement, and we need to continue to bring people to the table, and that's best I can do. I can't come out there with a rake and clean your yard, man. Everybody's. I mean, I might help my neighbor. He's close enough. You understand what I'm trying to say?
I do.
I'm not trying to be a jerk.
I do exactly what you're trying to do. I mean, Y2K.
Let's find it. Let's find the answers. Anyway, that's about it, folks. You've been listening to the Knights of the Round Table. Peace and love. Going to the world with common sense. If you want to help this show continue on, not asking for any financial support of any type, I'm just asking you to go out there and tell some folks. Give them these podcasts. Let them listen to it. Tell them to come here and tell me where I'm wrong, where I'm right. Let's work it out. That's what the round table's about, to open discussion and come to the microphone and tell us your side of the deal, and we get it resolved and figure out a plan forward. That's, you got any better idea? Anybody?
You just did everything.
Man, sorry. What knight lives in that castle over there?
I'm 37.
What?
I'm 37. I'm not old.
Well, I can't just call you man.
You could say Dennis.
I didn't know you were called Dennis.
Well, you didn't bother to find out, did you?
I did say sorry about the old woman, but from behind you looked...
What I object to is you automatically treat me like an inferior.
Well, I am king.
Oh, king, eh? Very nice. And how do you get that, eh? By exploiting the workers. By hanging on to outdated imperialist dogma which perpetuates the economic and social differences in our society. If there's ever going to be any progress...
Dennis, there's some lovely filth down here. Oh! How'd you do?
How'd you do, good lady? I'm Arthur, King of the Britons. Whose castle is that?
King of the who?
The Britons.
Who are the Britons?
Well, we all are. We are all Britons. And I am your king.
I didn't know we had a king. I thought we were an autonomous collective.
You're fooling yourself. We're living in a dictatorship. A self-perpetuating autocracy in which the working classes...
Oh, there you go, bringing class into it again.
That's what it's all about. If only people would
realize... Please, please, good people. I am in haste. Who lives in that castle?
No one lives there.
Then who is your lord?
We don't have a lord.
What?
I told you, we're an anarcho-syndicalist commune. We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Order? Who does he think he is?
I'm your king.
Well, I didn't vote for you.
You don't vote for kings?
Well, how'd you become king, then?
The Lady of the Lake, her arm clad in the purest shimmering samite, held aloft Excalibur from the bosom of the water, signifying by divine providence that I, Arthur, was to carry Excalibur.
That is why I'm your king.
Listen, strange women lying in ponds distributing swords is no basis for a system of government. Supreme executive power derives from a mandate from the masses, not from some farcical aquatic ceremony.
Be quiet!
But you can't expect to wield supreme executive power just because some watery tart threw a sword at you.
Shut up!
I mean, if I went round saying I was an emperor, just because some moistened bint had lobbed a scimitar at me, they put me away.
Shut up! Will you shut up?
Ah, now we see the violence inherent in the system.
Shut up!
Oh, come and see the violence inherent in the system! Help, help, I'm being repressed,
bloody peasant!
Oh, what a giveaway. Did you hear that? Did you hear that, eh? That's what I'm on about. Did you see him repressing me? You saw it, didn't you?
Camelot. Camelot. Camelot.
It's only a model.
Shh.
Knights, I bid you welcome to your new home. Let us ride to Camelot.
We're knights of the round table, three knots when we're able. We do routines to call the scenes, to footwork in bed cable. We dine well here in Camelot, we eat ham and jam and spam a lot. We're knights of the round table, our shows are more mid-table. So many times we give and rhymes that are quite unsingable. We're off so mad in Camelot, we sing from the diaphragm alone. Gable. Between our quests, we seem to best in a person, make our cable. It's a busy life in Camelot.
I have to push the pram along.
Well, on second thoughts, let's not go to Camelot. It is a silly place.
Right.
Shazam's the Turbo! All those looking Shazam's the Turbo and the Knights of the Round Table!